is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He gonna come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy, punch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. A little bit of a late start today because of the hockey news, and we're here today to talk some football, some Bills and NFL football, as we are every day, noon to 3 p.m. And news just in from the Buffalo Bills. They have signed another quarterback for the roster, and he happens to be sitting here right on set with us, veteran quarterback T.J. Yates, joining Donald Jones and I as we start the show. T.J., thanks very much for coming by. Great way for us to start the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about this process coming here. We know you were here for a visit late last week, and what went on since then?
They called last Wednesday and had a couple of travel issues. Atlanta was a little bit crazy. It took me 2 days to get here almost.
Always is.
So I finally got here late Thursday night. Met with the coaches and everybody on Friday. And through the weekend, I took a trip to Chicago for a wedding, but then I came back yesterday and finally got the pen to the paper just now. So I'm happy to be here.
Donald and I were watching the workout, the conditioning work. Were you in that group there?
No, not yet.
I just got
here.
So. Just signed the thing.
You
okay.
Think if you get in that group, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Ready to roll.
This process of coming here, tell me about how the Bills approached you and what maybe how they described what they were looking for from you, what the kind of role you might play.
I've had a previous relationship with Rick Dennison. He was my offensive coordinator in Houston for 3 years. So we had been chatting a little bit throughout the offseason. He was keeping tabs. And they called on Wednesday and brought me in, and it happened pretty quick. I'm happy to be here. This is Tyrod's football team, and I'm here to help. I'm here for the quarterback room and whatever way I can do and help. I'm ready to compete.
Now, you said you have the relationship with Rick Dennison, so obviously you know his history, his offense, what he likes to run. How do you feel you fit into that scheme?
I like it a lot. It was something I did in college quite a bit, and I did for my first 3 years in Houston. I think it works it's going to work very well with the personnel we have here, the running game. And it's a run first offense, and that establishes everything throughout the play pass and the keepers and all the things that he likes to do. And I think it's going to be a great fit.
TJ, what are the elements of a quarterback in this offense? You mentioned play pass. I mean, is that really one of the main things you have to do, perfect a play-action pass technique? Or what are the responsibilities of a quarterback in Dennison's system?
That would be definitely one of them, because it's such run-heavy, and the way this offense works is you run it first and everything works off of that. Trying to stay ahead of the sticks, not getting second long, third and long situations so you can stay within the offense. And with Tyrod's mobility and everything, Coach Dennison likes to do outside of the pocket, it's going to be great for him, I think.
Now, you said you're here for the quarterback room. This is Tyrod's team. What do you feel like you bring to that room?
Obviously, a knowledge of the offense. I've played a little bit in this league, and I think I can, bring a little bit of knowledge to the room, help any way I can, give some advice when I can, and just try to, be a good team member.
You've played in this league a lot, actually, and you'll be, 30 years old, I guess, in a couple of months?
Soon to be, yep.
End of May.
Now I'm just messing.
30 looks good to me.
I'm about to be 32. I'm
messing
with him.
TJ, coming into the league, though, with Houston, things happen quickly for you, wouldn't you say? I mean, as a fifth-round pick, you find yourself starting and then starting in a playoff game for the Texans.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy year, my rookie year. Matt Schaub was the starter there for – throughout that whole year, and then he got hurt, I think, week 10 of my rookie year. And, my first game dressing the next game, Matt Leinart steps in. He gets hurt in the first quarter. So I was thrown into the fire pretty quickly. But Coach Dennison was one of those guys to help me keep me ready throughout the year. He wouldn't let me relax 1 second throughout that entire year, those first 10 weeks of the season, training camp, all that. He keeps the entire quarterback room ready. And I think that's what helped me have success and help the team have success throughout the rest of that year. We kept the run going, won a franchise's first playoff game.
Yeah.
So it was a special year for us.
What was that like, starting a playoff game as a rookie, having just been into the lineup a couple of months before that?
Pretty wild. At that point, I didn't really have time to kind of stop and think about everything because I was a million miles an hour, you know, in the room as much as I could to try to get ready each week and play. But it was cool. You know, it was a big moment for the city of Houston and the organization.
Was it when Kubiak was the head coach, right, near Houston? You had Dennison and Kubiak, a couple of, I guess, modified quarterback gurus there, mm-hmm. you know, that you were listening to. Did that make a difference, you think, in your early development, having Kubiak and Rick Dennison?
Absolutely. We had, it's kind of funny, when I was playing, you know, Matt Schaub got hurt, Matt Leiner got hurt. We had Rico, we had Kub, we signed Jeff Garcia, we signed Jake Delhomme. All these guys were in the room, and it was like, mm-hmm. we counted at one time, it was like 150 years of NFL experience. And the rookie was the guy playing on the field. So I had a lot of, you know, guys talking to me, giving me advice every day. So, you know, I just pulled from everybody around me to help me have success.
You had DeAndre Hopkins you were throwing the ball to, and mm-hmm. we've seen some of the highlights for the people on the MSG side. Now you have Sammy Watkins here. What's your connection to the Clemson wide receivers?
Hopefully a good one. you know, those are very similar players, DeAndre and Sammy. You know, DeAndre is a very easy guy to throw to. You know, he's mm-hmm. got a radius of about 10 feet. You know, you put it anywhere in there, he's going to come down with it. So those type of receivers, which I know Sammy's the same type of guy, he makes it very easy on the quarterback, very easy to throw to, and he's going to make big plays for you.
Were you disappointed after having the early success that you got traded to Atlanta from the Texans, what, two or three years into your career?
Yeah, it was in between my third and fourth years. Okay. Yeah, I loved Houston. It was a great place, great spot for me. But, you know, coaching change, you know, that's kind of how the NFL works. You know, if everybody wants to play in the same place their entire
sure.
career, but and that's just the nature of the business. I got to go home for a year. I'm from Atlanta, so that was fun to go home for a year and then actually end up going back to Houston the next
right.
year. So I mean, I've kind of been hopping around the past couple of years, a couple of injuries, but it feels good to finally be healthy and, you know, be in an offense that I'm very comfortable with and be with a great team.
A couple of years ago, it was a pretty serious knee injury, right, late mm-hmm. in the year when you're back with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the recovery from that, and did it take you almost a full year to get fully recovered from that?
You know, probably, you know, till you actually feel comfortable. You know, I got hurt, I think, week 15 of that year of 2015, so I wasn't cleared to play yet by the beginning of next year, and I was a free agent, so I had some time to sit at home and rehab and get ready, and then Miami picked me up late in the year, last year.
What does that do to your mind when you're sitting at home and you're rehabbing? How does it give you time to think about everything? Like, what does that do to your mind?
It's tough to watch, you know, to watch football on Sundays and not be a part of it, you know, because I've done it for so long, you know, but it just keeps you motivated. I really liked working out on Sundays while the games were going on just to, you know, kind of get away from it, but definitely get you motivated. You know, I know I have the ability to play in this league, and I knew I'd get another shot.
So the knee recovers, you signed with the Dolphins. You must have been here, right, backing up Matt
yep.
Moore back on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah, what a wild game that was.
It was a wild game.
I mean,
crazy game.
Goes to overtime, and you know, meant it, big changes here. Obviously, Rex was
right.
let go about 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
From the Dolphins' perspective, what was that game like?
Going
to OT especially.
Yeah, it was a big game for us. You know, Matt was playing very well at that time. You know, we kind of rallied around each other, the whole team. You know, and it's always tough to come up here and play, you know, especially as a quarterback. The first thing you think of is when you're going to Buffalo, is like, oh, the wind, you know, because
mm-hmm.
no quarterback likes throwing in wind. But, you know, the crowd here, the atmosphere, it's a college atmosphere. I mean, it's a great place to play. It's a tough place to play for opposing teams. And, you know, we're lucky that day.
As you speak about the win, now you get signed by the team.
Yeah.
So now this is home. So
yeah, you got to get used to it. You know, you can't make excuses. You got to, obviously, anywhere you go, especially in this division, you're going to have some weather to deal with. But you got to throw tight spirals.
You mentioned about being in the room with the quarterbacks. Have you been in any meeting time with the quarterbacks here yet? Since I know you just signed.
No, this
morning.
I've been here for, you know, about an hour
right,
or so.
So you'll get in there.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned too that you have a pretty defined what you think a pretty defined role here in your career. Where do you think you are now, approaching age 30, with substantial experience behind you? What do you think you could bring to the Buffalo Bills or any team down the road?
Just experience. You know, I've been in multiple situations, obviously a lot of them early on in my career, but just experience, knowledge, you know, leadership, anything I can do to help this team win.
Do you know Tyrod? Have you ever worked out with him or come across
him? Yeah, we played against each other quite a bit in college, three or four times, and, you know, we've known each other from, you know, being around ACC media days and stuff like that, and we've actually played against each other in the league quite a bit, so I can talk to him every time I play, but, you know, we've got a really good relationship.
TJ, thanks for coming by. I know things are happening quickly for you here. Get settled in, and we look forward to seeing you around here a lot. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank
TJ
you.
Yates, Bill's new quarterback, just signed to a contract. The announcement came just a couple of minutes ago. TJ Yates, with all that experience with the Houston Texans and Atlanta Falcons, a little stint with the Dolphins last year, signed with the Buffalo Bills, now in that quarterback room. We're going to talk about quarterbacks today. Actually, that is part of our Twitter poll today, and let's take a look at that. The Twitter poll is we approach the draft, draft coming up now just a couple of weeks away. The Twitter poll deals with the Bills and their interest in maybe some potential draft picks. Reports out there that the Bills are working out Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes. Does that mean the Bills are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? Could that really be? I don't know. We want to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. And you can weigh in on Twitter. The report came out today. Actually, there was a picture tweeted out, Donald, of Coach Sean McDermott alongside Mitch Trubisky and Bills owner Terry Pegula, a workout apparently yesterday in North Carolina. The report last week came from Daniel Jeremiah that the Bills were going to work out Pat Mahomes. What are we talking about here? First-round quarterback?
I don't know. I don't see them going with the first-round quarterback. I mean, unless they fall in love with one of these guys, I just don't see that happening right now. You know, we talked about this. My baloney has a first name. And this is baloney season, man. This smokescreen. I would go with smokescreen if we're talking about that that Twitter poll.
Well, the Twitter poll, let's show you that again. The reports that the Bills are working out Trubisky and Mahomes. Does that mean the Bills are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? Almost 500 votes in so far. 45% of you say, no, not going to draft a quarterback. 43% align with Donald and say it's a smokescreen 2.5 weeks before the draft. Only 12% say yes.
I think that's the 12 that wants them to draft the quarterback.
Right. And we'll take your comments on the air, too, if you'd like to phone in. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What do you think? Are the Bills going to use that 10th overall pick on a quarterback? There is the picture with Trubisky. There is the reports that they're going to work out Mahomes. There was even a report over the weekend, I don't believe it, that talked about Doug Whaley falling in love with Deshaun Watson. Look, we both have talked to some of these decision makers, and we don't get that sense.
Not at all.
But maybe they're trying to set up a smokescreen and let people think that anyway. I don't know. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, Adam Galloway tweets in, I'd say no, but it makes sense to do due diligence on any quarterbacks as they may slip to round two and beyond. That makes sense.
That makes sense. I mean, to do your due diligence on any quarterback, any player who you're talking about in the top 10, I mean, it makes sense to do your due diligence. Now, for Terry to be there is kind of surprising.
That's what got my attention, right?
That's kind of surprising.
For the owner to make a trip, apparently, to Chapel Hill for that workout?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I don't know if Terry's ever made a trip anywhere else to see a player work out. We're not talking about, like, Jerry Jones that does this stuff. I mean,
Gunter Brewer, the co-offensive coordinator of the Tar Heels, tweeted out a picture of he with Terry Pegula and Sean McDermott at the workout for Mitch Trubisky. That made me sit up and say, whoa.
It will definitely make you sit up. Like, wait, was Terry going there to actually scout somebody, or is he just seeing what Sean McDermott is doing? Is he just in town for business and was like, I'll stop by because I want to see what's going on? I mean, what's going on? I don't know.
We don't know, but we're willing to entertain your thoughts on that. Scuba Steve tweets in, they're doing their homework.
Scuba Steve.
Doing their homework in case there's a chance to move back into the first, get one in the second comes around. Don't buy them taking these guys at 10. I don't either. Luis Estrada tweets, and I think they have quarterback in mind, but not in the first round. But these guys, Trubisky and Mahomes, who they are linked with, they are first-rounders, I think, pretty certainly.
They're probably
right?
going to be first-rounders, even though people are saying they shouldn't be. They're going to be first-rounders, so – you know, I don't know if they want to go with the quarterback at 10. For me, it doesn't make sense. I just feel like maybe it's a smokescreen and they're trying to get teams to feel like they want to draft a quarterback so that they can trade back.
That's
what it is.
Yeah. So if they're, you know, they got the picture that the Bills retweeted. They got the picture with Trubisky's workout. They got the the reports that came out last week from Ian Rappaport that they're going to work out Mahomes. Somewhere came a report that Deshaun Watson is liked by Doug Whaley. I don't know if I'm buying it, but it's almost like they're covering the whole territory. Like, who might jump up and make us an offer for the 10th pick overall to get this one of these three or any of them?
There's going to be crazy reports for the next 2 weeks coming out. Like, people need to understand that. It's going to be reports, like, almost every day. You know, the Bills like this person, or so-and-so is at this pro day. The Bills are flying so-and-so in to speak to them. It doesn't mean they're going to draft them. You know, a lot of this stuff is smokescreen stuff. And a lot of it is just doing their due diligence. I mean, that's just – right now, this time of the year, that's what they have to do.
But to have the owner there.
I know, that's different.
Jason Zig tweets in, I think it says something that Terry was at the workout. It tells me he's taking personal involvement in finding franchise quarterback. Yeah, to have the owner there got my attention. Yours too, it sounds.
Yeah, I mean, with Terry there, though, like Terry has said publicly, I don't scout.
Yeah.
I don't scout players. It's not my area of expertise, you know. So if for him to be there, it would just be about him speaking to the player.
All right, let's hear what you think. Phone lines open 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. We're off and running from One Bills Drive. We already had T.J. Yates. Let's let you know about the rundown for the show. T.J. Yates, just heard him, and if you missed that, you can catch up on our website later on. Marcus Cromartie, one of the new Bills signees. They signed 9 of them Friday, actually, and one more today. Marcus Cromartie, part of the workouts here today, going to join us in studio at 12:30. Coming up at 1 o'clock, did you know there's a new spring league? It's called the Spring League. They've got 4 teams playing 6 games in the month of April down in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Some interesting names on that. We're going to talk with Brian Woods, who is the CEO of the Spring League, coming up at 1 o'clock. And a draft preview from Kevin Weidel from ESPN, our good buddy, who joins us at 2 o'clock today to talk about the draft a couple of weeks out. Get his thoughts on some of these quarterbacks. Did you know there was a Spring League?
And I did. I've been hearing about all of these different veterans that are going to play in this Spring League. You hear things about Greg Hardy, Ray Rice.
Boobie Dixon.
Boobie Dixon. You hear things about – I heard Johnny Manziel. I'm not sure if he's going to be in the league or not. I know –
I have a roster here. He's not on the roster. So
do you think, you know, all of these teams will have, like, springtime colors?
I don't know. We got to ask Brian Woods about this.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, how they're going to – they're all going to play – they're going to play all the games in West Virginia.
White
Sulphur Springs. Well, they got a great workout. This is where the Saints have trained. Cardinals have trained there, a great facility, and at the Greenbrier Resort. They're going to play the games right there.
And how much are tickets?
$10, it's
$10 a ticket.
Yeah, for the locals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's coming up a little bit later on at 1 o'clock today. In the meantime, let's talk quarterbacks. The Bills linked, apparently, with Pat Mahomes with a workout and video, or at least photo evidence of the Bills' brain trust at the at a workout for Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina yesterday. What do you think of all this? What does it mean? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Alex calling from Oswego. Hello, Alex. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good.
I want to give you a call because I think it's a little bit of a smokescreen, but I also think it's a little bit of, like, them scouting for the second round. Because, in all honesty, this draft is very laden with talent, and it's a lot of top-heavy talent. And so some guys like Mitchell Trubisky or Mahomes could slip into that second round category, you know, where they fall into the 10th pick. And so I think they're just doing their due diligence, and it's a little bit of a smokescreen, sort of getting teams excited about maybe doing a possible trade if they really think serious about being in the
But I don't know. And the thing is, Alex, and we'll get Kevin Weidel's expert opinion on this at 2 o'clock. I don't know. I wouldn't expect that either Trubisky or Mahomes will be available when the Bills pick in the second round. Would you?
In the second round, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think these guys are going to go. We're talking about a league where teams reach for quarterbacks. They really do. I mean, even if you draft one of these guys later in the first round, you'll have a team that will take at least one of those guys later and say, you're going to be our backup because they like that guy. You're going to be our backup because we have a quarterback who is – you know, about to be done in the next couple of years, and we can groom you coming along. You know, you have the Cardinals with Carson Palmer. You have Houston that needs a quarterback. And you have teams in the top 10 that need quarterbacks. So I think that most of these guys will be gone by the time you get to the second round.
I don't think so. Let's hear from you, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550 or via Twitter. A couple of tweets on this. Follow at MLB says, no way they're drafting a quarterback. We are set. I mean, T.J. Yates makes 4 in the quarterback room now.
He does make 4.
The tweet goes on to say, too much of a need at cornerback and wide receiver to waste the pick on quarterback. Richard Anthony II tweets, and Nathan Peterman, the Bills need to grab his guy. Not going to grab him at 10. Spiriaz tweets, and interesting, the Bills have not brought in or talked to many players worth the 10 pick. Previous years, all picks visited. They are having people visited that they're just not announcing this year.
Yeah.
They have in the past announced which draft prospects visited. That's not the case this year.
And I would say this as well. Don't read too much into that either. You know, I mean, how many times, how many years somebody gets drafted and is like, I didn't talk to this team at all. No combine interview, no nothing. I didn't talk to this team and they end up drafting me. You know, it's kind of, you got to go how the draft plays out. And a lot of times these teams won't. They don't want other teams to feel like they like this person.
Right.
You know?
And
so,
they're not announcing. They haven't announced. I don't think any.
No, they haven't announced anything. Yeah. So
but
we don't even know.
We don't even know.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Marcus Cromartie is going to join us. You're welcome to join us as well. Talk about this quarterback question with the reports out there about Pat Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky linked to the Buffalo Bills. What does it mean? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Just getting rolling at One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show on a busy day at One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, quarterback news. You heard maybe from T.J. Yates, who joined us a couple of minutes ago. The quarterback just signed to the roster by the Buffalo Bills. The other day, they announced that they had signed 8 players, including our next guest, who is on set with us right now, cornerback from the National Football League, who spent some time in the league. Marcus Cromartie joins us. Marcus, thanks for coming by. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Very excited.
First day on the field for the offseason work today. How did it go?
It was good. You know, got to meet the guys. They all embraced me. You know, I'm ready to make the team better in any way that I can.
All right, the first question probably the fans are going to have if they don't Google you, is there any relation to anybody else throughout the league? Antonio,
yeah, I got a
Dominique, any of those guys?
I got a strong bloodline of corners yeah. in the NFL. I actually talked to Antonio yesterday. He gave me good advice. Just gave me good advice just about accepting the opportunity and going and making the best out of it, you know, taking one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the season doesn't start tomorrow. The season doesn't start a week from now, but you can take, you know, your own season day by day, and that's kind of what I'm doing, just, you know, taking it day by day.
Yeah, me and him had some physical battles on the field. We also had some verbiage on the field going back and forth. He could talk. He could go back and forth, man.
Really?
Antonio, what? Well, you never stop.
You're a receiver. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I bet you had a little talking going on.
Talks for a living now.
Yeah, right. Talks for a living now.
Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, he's a cousin as well?
Yeah. I haven't talked to Dominique recently, but yeah, he's also part of the bloodline, man, and just having those guys, man, and just seeing those guys and what they've done in the league, it kind of pushes you to be the player that you are, you know. Obviously, you know, Antonio wants to be the best Cromartie. Dominique Rogers wants to be the best Cromartie. I personally want to be the best Cromartie. And it's about having that competition within the competition of, you know, you want to hold yourself to a higher standing. You know, you got to – when you got a name that speaks value in the league, you want to uphold it, you know.
Is there a pressure that comes with that name? Especially being the youngest.
Yeah, I mean, not really, just because you only can go out and play the game. I can't put any more pressure on myself than just going out and wanting to make plays. That's my pressure, to help this team win, help whatever team I'm on win.
Marcus Cromartie, Bill's new cornerback, joins us, signed as a free agent just a couple of days ago. You mentioned all the bloodlines and the family. Did you all grow up in the New Orleans area?
No, actually, they grew up in Florida. I grew up in New Orleans, and it's just one of those things where, you know, I think, you know, growing up in a city like that makes you tough. You know, it's just football, I feel like. It's something about playing football in the South that's different than playing anywhere else, and I think it helps me play with a chip on my shoulder.
Your journey included when you were in high school, leaving New Orleans because of Katrina, right? Can you talk
correct.
About that a little bit?
I can. It's just one of those things that you never know how your life can change in the day, and, you know, Katrina happened, and it kind of turned my life upside down, and I went to Texas, and I embraced it, fortunately, and I was able to get an opportunity to go to college from there, and it's just something that, you know, I know not to take anything for granted because it all can be gone in a second.
You were, 15 years old
when
you left?
Yeah, 15, correct.
And you said you left a day before the storm came?
A day before the storm, and it's one of those things that you just gotta look back and be like, wow, you know, I went through that, and it helped me become the person I am today.
To go to Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, and played probably some pretty high-level high school football, then you probably were among several New Orleans transplants, right?
Oh,
refugees
for sure.
From the storm.
Yeah, for sure. There was tons of us there, and uh, And, you know, we kind of stuck together a little bit, and, you know, you kind of had to just because, you know, when I first got to Texas, people couldn't understand what I was saying. The slang that I had and just, I guess, the draw I had on my words was too much for people. And you just had to, you know, take it, like I said, one day at a time. And luckily, I went to a school where everybody was, you know, for me, not against me. And they helped me become the person I am.
What was some of the slang? Yeah. What kind of normal stuff? Yeah, you're right.
I think it's, you know, I guess instead of saying I'm going to the grocery store, you would say I'm going to make groceries.
Yeah.
And it's just something, you know, people just like, what are you talking about?
Like, make groceries. I'm going to make groceries. So that's funny. So you moved from New Orleans to Texas, and you talked off air before we came on about how prideful you are being from New Orleans, mm-hmm. and people are from New Orleans. And so when you get to Texas, I know you had to say, like, I'm from New Orleans. Like, and especially talking football, because we know how people are representing. We have the best football coming out of our state.
Yeah, it's hard to get in that with Texas because they're so big. But, you know, you just try to, you know, you put your whole city in your back when mm-hmm. you go in there. Yeah. And I think when I went to Texas, that's what I did. I just wanted to show people in Texas that people in New Orleans can play. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to Wisconsin for school, I wanted to show that people from New Orleans and Texas can play. You know, just taking where I played and taking it upon myself to mean something to me. And I wanted people to understand, and that's why I play with such a chip on the shoulder, because I want people to understand where I come from.
Marcus, how does a guy from New Orleans and Texas wind up all the way up in Madison, Wisconsin?
I think they tricked me. They bought me on my visit in September.
It was nice.
It was like 80 degrees, sunny. It was nice. I was like, man, it's hot here. This is going to be a breeze.
Did you have offers from, you know, schools down south?
I did. I had offers from Florida, Texas A&M, and it just, you know, Wisconsin got on me so early. I think I committed my junior year in high school, so they got on me so early, and loyalty means a lot to me. So, I was comfortable with their coaches. You know, I gave my word to them when I was a junior in high school, and I kept it.
Wisconsin has a kind of a history of good defensive backs really coming out of that school.
I think, you know, Wisconsin has a history of good football players just because I feel like the Big Ten translate better to pro football than any other conference. And I'm a Big Ten guy, so of course I'm going to say that.
Yeah, of course you're
going to
say that.
But, you know, it's just hard-nosed football. I know in college, I played corner in college, and I was getting 65, 70 tackles a game. I mean, a season. But that's just what you had to do. That's what you had to do in Big Ten. You had to tackle. I had to tackle guys like Le'Veon Bell and Beanie Wells and the Carlos Hydes of the world. And it just made you tough football players.
With Marcus Cromartie, Bill's new cornerback, just signed to the roster on Friday. Got his first workout in with his teammates today. The path to the NFL, undrafted, right?
Undrafted.
Went to San Diego. Did you expect to be drafted, or how did that go down?
I did, but, you know, things happen. And I had a coach of mine in college, Brett Bielema. He told me, control the controllables. And so, you know, there's only two things in life I feel like you can control. That's your attitude and your work ethic. And everything else, it goes on the wayside because I can't control if the GM likes me today or tomorrow or the next week. But mm-hmm. I can control, you know, my work ethic. I control my attitude. So what I did was, you know, I took my situation and I just made the best out of it. And the journey's been long, but I'm still here. And I take pride in that.
You signed Friday, and now you're here on Monday. You had your first workout today mm-hmm. with the team. How was it?
Oh, it was good. You know, what I like about this team is we push each other. Just being here for one day, you know, it was felt like I was in a competition, and you kind of need that. You know, you kind of need that to beat the monotony of things, because, you know, obviously it's April. You know, we're not playing a game tomorrow, so you got to keep things edgy. And I think that's what we did. You know, we competed on the field with our sprints. We competed in the weight room with our lifts. And I think I like that. I like that about being here.
Hey, Marcus, last year with San Francisco, you found yourself playing on the back end. A lot of safety, you said, last year?
Right, a lot of safety. And you know what? I think that's what makes, you know, me so good in this game, because I'm versatile. I played corner in this league. You know, I started at corner. I played, got reps at safety. I play special teams at a high level. And it's just, you kind of need those guys on the team, because it's like having a jackknife, you know. You might need a razor one day. You might need to clip your fingernails the next. So you kind of need, you know, those things to kind of, you know, build the chemistry around the team, for sure.
If somebody was to ask you, are you a corner or a safety, what would your answer be?
I say I do both. You know, I always consider myself a corner first, because that's what I've grown up doing. But I think I'm an intelligent football player, so I think I can learn the defense. And what's so nice about playing and learning safety is once you learn and play safety, it makes the other positions easier, because now you know the scheme of the defense. Mm-hmm. As where a corner, you know, okay, guard your man. Where a safety, you got to know where the corner lines up. You got to know where the linebacker drops. You got to know where the safety inserts. Mm-hmm. So, you know all these different pieces, and it's going to help you play faster when you're at corner. It's going to help you play faster when you're at nickel. And I think, learning all three positions make you more valuable football player.
Did you play – you did play against the Bills here, right, last October?
I did play against the Bills. And you guys had a tough team, by the way, And you guys won. And it was a good experience coming here. It actually came here. It was like 55, 60, so it was a nice day.
Yeah, it was a nice
day. And I just remember driving. I was like, man, where am I? We drive through a neighborhood and these crazy fans, y'all going to lose, y'all going down,
Those are the polite fans.
exactly right. Yeah. So, we get into the stadium, and it's just you wouldn't think it would get so loud, but it was very loud and very intimate atmosphere because I felt like the crowd was right on top of us. And we came up short, but I really felt like this is a good place to play football.
A lot of special teams for you last year?
A lot of special teams. Played safety a little bit at the back end of the season. Didn't play corner. Lined up some at nickel last year, so I done it all,
Yeah.
What they tell you they need your role to be on this team?
They need me to make the team better. They honestly haven't gave me a role. We're going to go in trying to find out what's the best position for me. And when I say that, first thing is first, I got to learn the defense. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the guys that's been here only been here for a week. So, it's a whole new coaching staff. So, we all kind of think taking things slow. Prepping for next week's minicamp.
You think that helps you in the long run and making a team and everything when you have a full new coaching staff? So it's not like these coaches know these guys from last year. I mean, everybody's on a blank slate right now.
Right. And that was part of my decision to come here was mm-hmm. that, you get an opportunity to be somewhere where the best guys are going to play. And that's always, what you look forward to is the best guys playing because I feel like they give everybody an equal shot.
Seems like opportunity here, too. I mean,
for sure.
Only five corners
for
on
sure.
the roster.
Definitely.
A couple of safeties. But there's jobs open, you would think, in the backfield here.
Right? Oh, definitely. And you know what? And I think that's what's going to bring the best out of all of us. These guys, young guys, old guys, we all want to play. So, we're going to push each other to see who plays best.
Good luck to you, Marcus. Thanks
Thank
for stopping
you.
By here.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Come back again sometime. Yeah, no Marcus problem. Cromartie, Bill's Corner, joining us in studio. We got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive from our One Buffalo studio on a beautiful day in Orchard Park. A little breezy, warm temperatures, just through 3 days after snow on the ground.
I know. This is
can't
weird.
Keep up.
You
cannot
keep up.
Don't even try. Thanks to Marcus Cromartie and TJ Yates for joining us in the first hour of the show. I like them both. They both seem like good guys and smart guys. Good veteran guys, both of them.
Yeah, I think it's – and you know what? For Marcus – and it seems like this is – and even, Coach McDermott said this in, like, his first press conference. He was going to bring guys in who are versatile.
Yeah.
And everybody who he's brought onto this team have played multiple positions in this league and also played special teams.
Right. Cromartie talking about being the Swiss Army knife, right?
Exactly.
Doing a bunch of different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, our Twitter poll deals with quarterbacks, and we're getting some response on this. Want to hear from you. Reports out there that the Bills are worked out Mitch Trubisky, a picture circulating on the internet with owner Terry Pegula and head coach Sean McDermott and the coaching staff, or at least one of the coaching members at North Carolina. Pat Mahomes last week linked to the Bills and a workout possibly coming this week. Does that mean the Bills are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? That's our Twitter poll. We've got 650 votes in. 46% say no, it doesn't mean that at all. 43% say it's a smokescreen, and just 11% say yes, they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't think they are, Donald. You don't think they are. Due diligence and a smokescreen, I think, is what I'm
yeah,
looking at.
That's my whole – I think it's due diligence on any of these players that you're talking about going in the top round. If everybody's saying this guy is going to go in the top round, all right, let's go and look at him at least. We're looking at all the players anyway. We might as well go look at this guy. Smokescreen, it could be as well. I just don't think that it makes sense to draft one of these guys, but maybe they fall in love with one.
Yeah.
Maybe they do.
How many times? We'll get at 2 o'clock when we talk to Kevin Weidel, but how many draft experts have we talked to when we ask any one of these quarterbacks top 10?
And everybody says
no. Everybody says no. Bill Polian emphatically no. None of the above, I think, was his
answer. Of the above. So maybe you know, and the other thing that we could be talking about is them really trying to trade back and trying to, that smokescreen, trying to get a team to jump up so that they can trade back and maybe take one of these guys then. You know, you drop back a little bit and take one then because it doesn't make sense at the number 10 pick. For me, obviously, we've been talking about this. I'd like for them to go at the cornerback position, but who knows? Maybe that's where they want to go.
Give us your thoughts on that at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Jeff in Jamestown has some thoughts for us this afternoon. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The Bills have as much chance of drafting a quarterback as drafting linebacker Bobby Boucher. It's not going to happen.
What do you make of the interest expressed?
I got a couple of players that I want you to. Do you guys know anything about former Virginia basketball player Allie Cox?
No.
Tomorrow he's going to do a tryout for tight end. He's 6'7", 250 pounds. So I want to know what you guys think about that.
Well, I don't know anything about him. Do you, Donald? Never heard of him.
I've never heard his
name.
Is he
a rookie?
Is he doing a tryout with the Bills or just?
I got it on. Jason Witten watched him play, and he said that if he ever thought about playing, he's got the perfect body type to be a tight end. And tomorrow he's going to, in Virginia, do his pro day for NFL scouts. Hmm. And the other guys are defensive end, outside linebackers. I was wondering about your guys' thoughts about Derek Rivers, if he could be a possible outside linebacker. Jordan Willis. Defensive outside linebacker and Tyrus Bowser from Houston. And I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts. Thank you.
Well, I'll just say
this. A lot of
these
questions better suited for our 2 o'clock guests.
Yeah, definitely.
You know Rivers, though, because he's a Youngstown guy.
That's right. So, you know, if they took Rivers, I'd be happy with that. But I don't know. I mean, Rivers, even though he's going to be an outside linebacker, in college he's been more of a rush specialist type of guy, you know. So for him to come in now – and play outside linebacker, he needs to probably sit behind somebody and learn how to really play outside linebacker, you know, unless he goes into a 3-4 scheme where he's asked to really just rush the passer. In this scheme –
You've seen him play?
Yeah, I went to a couple of games. I mean, he's a beast coming off the edge. He really is a beast. He transferred down from Nebraska with Bo Pelini when Bo Pelini came over. So, you know, he's not just a guy who just went to Youngstown. He went to a big-time school. He just transferred down because of some off-the-field stuff, I believe. But – he is a beast coming off the edge, and he's fast coming off the edge. I think he ran like a 4.61 in his 40, something like that. So he has the speed. He has the athleticism. I just don't know if he would work in this scheme in a 4.3 because he is going to be asked to do a lot, you know, and I would think that he's probably going to end up going in the second or third round. I think another team will end up taking him.
The first guy he mentioned, I just had a chance to look it up. I had not heard this name before, but Mo Alley Cox is his name, who was a basketball player at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth. Great size, never really played football, 6'7", 250 pounds, going to work out for NFL teams tomorrow. A project, to be sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a project. But we've seen these guys come over from basketball and make that transition, especially at the tight end position. They come over from basketball. They know how to box out. They know how to catch. Obviously, they've been, you know, catching passes in basketball. And so, you know, they come into this league and they're able to transition that. And they can jump.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you want from a guy playing tight end. But he still would have to learn how to block. He would have to learn how to run routes and catch NFL passes.
You know who's making that transition right now? Former Canisius basketball player Chris Manhertz, who spent 1 year around the Bills on practice squad and this past year with the New Orleans Saints and played with the Saints.
Hmm.
Chris Manhertz. Oh, by the way, on the show with us tomorrow.
Really?
How about that for good producing in the other room?
How about that?
Chris Manhertz, former Canisius. He was a big man at Canisius, good defender, just like Mo Alley Cox appears to be, and is kind of getting a chance with the Saints, made the roster and made a couple plays for the Saints last year.
I mean, you look at – you know, Jimmy Graham, you look at Antonio Gates was like the first one to really jump into the scene, a guy that comes from playing basketball to playing football. But there are a lot of tight ends like that that are really trying to translate into playing football now. You know, they're not going to play in the NBA, and so they give football a try. And like I said, they're already athletic because – and people kind of discount how athletic basketball players are. You know, I mean, these guys are not just tall. Like these, you're talking about guys that are 6'7", you know, 7 feet tall, but still athletic. You know, so if you can get one of these guys that can really translate into running routes and catching passes for you, it's great.
So we'll talk with Chris Manhertz on the show tomorrow. Coming up on the show in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about a spring league. It's going on right now. They're working out, getting set for a six-game spring league season down in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. It's called the Spring League. Brian Woods, CEO, is going to join us when we return. So come back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
On a busy day at One Bills Drive, the Bills added a quarterback to the roster today after bringing him in for a discussion last week. The Bills have signed quarterback T.J. Yates, a free agent, former fifth-round pick of the Houston Texans in 2011. Played for the Texans for a couple of years before moving on to Atlanta, back to Houston, and then spending a little bit of time with the Miami Dolphins last year. T.J. Yates, our guest in the first hour of the show. You'll be able to hear that interview on our website. Earlier today, the Bills announced that they've signed the nephew of Hall of Fame linebacker Junior Seau. Ian Seau signed to the roster. He is a defensive lineman who went to training camp and spent preseasons with the Rams last year under now Bills defensive line coach Mike Waffle. The Bills continue to add to the roster. Ian Seau added to the Buffalo roster. The Bills offseason conditioning program continues week two, 4 days this week, and then a mini camp coming up next week. Two other NFL teams began their offseason programs today, the Broncos and the 49ers, three teams actually, the Broncos, the 49ers, and the Rams, all of them with new head coaches permitted to start their workouts today. Buffalo Sabres with their locker clean out today. They closed out the season with a 4-2 loss last night in Tampa. Sabres finished with 78 points, 33 wins, 37 losses, 12 ties. Jack Eichel led their team in points. Evander Kane first in goals. Sabres cleaned out their lockers earlier this morning. Dan Bylsma, head coach, said, quote, "We have to change if we expect to win." He said it was year two of the process, and he said they hope to be further along. Stanley Cup playoffs begin on Wednesday in the NHL. Sergio Garcia put aside the frustrations of the past and won the 81st Masters Tournament yesterday at Augusta National. Garcia survived the final round and won a playoff against his buddy Justin Rose. Garcia needed two putts for par on the first playoff hole, instead made a birdie putt and won the Masters. The Bisons, 3-0 to start the season, continue their homestand today. 1:05 first pitch, just a couple of minutes away. First game of a three-game series with Rochester. Left-hander T.J. House getting the start for the Herd. And that's the sports update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones in studio, in our One Buffalo studio. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a man whose football season begins in just a couple of weeks. He is the CEO of the brand-new Spring League going on in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. We're joined on the line by Brian Woods. Brian, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones, and we thank you for joining us here today.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
Tell us about the Spring League. What's it all about, Brian?
Well, conceptually, it's essentially an NFL D-League of sorts. We operate under a very condensed time format. We have players all in one central location, enough to compose four teams. We're going to be here. Players checked in on April 5th. We've got our first few practices under our belt already. Everything looks pretty good. It's a very quick installation period, but essentially the four teams are going to play six games over the course of 3 weeks. And during that time, we've got the Raiders in yesterday. We've got a couple of CFL teams here today. Chargers are arriving tonight. I expect the Buffalo Bills are coming in here in the next couple of days. Rob Hanrahan and one of his pro scouts. So we're going to have a lot of NFL teams cycling in to kind of evaluate these players. But essentially, it's an NFL D-League that has an exceptional pool of talent right now. And we're very happy to be operating at the Greenbrier Resort here in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. And we're pretty excited to kick off our inaugural season here in just a few days.
Brian, I actually look at this as not only a developmental league for, you know, these players, but also for referees and also for coaches. Am I right about that?
I would agree. I think when you look at the business model of the Spring League, we're not just about player development. I think we can develop young coaches. I think we can actually serve as a place to have officials that are training for the NFL game. Because as you know, the rules in NCAA football, the rules in Canada, especially the rules in the indoor football game, are not preparing officials
properly for NFL. And so I think that, yeah, we're going to have some officials here, and I think moving forward, we want to enter into more of a formal arrangement with the NFL and Dean Blandino and hopefully his football operations department there to get more officials involved that are on their way up.
Brian, it seems like the league is slowly coming around to the thought that they do need a developmental league, and why not the spring league, right? These are players looking for a place to play in a league that's looking for development, especially when you look at the, you know, the players being produced at quarterback coming out of college football.
Yeah, and I think that's I think you just hit the nail on the head right there, is that in the NFL these days, if you don't have a quarterback, you might as well pack it in. And I think that if you look at the schemes being employed at the NCAA level, they're so far apart now from what the NFL game is about. And I think the NFL is struggling to find quality quarterbacks coming out of college schemes. Many, many years ago, there were plenty of coaches that went from Division I to the NFL and back and forth, and a lot of pro-style offenses were being employed at the Division I level. That just isn't the case anymore. I think I go back a few years ago, and I think Auburn at one point had an offensive coordinator that it came directly from high school. So it's hard to imagine that these guys are utilizing schemes where the quarterbacks are having to think a lot. I've had conversations with Bruce Allen, the president of the Redskins, and we discussed this, that quarterbacks aren't under center anymore in college. He said, Brian, we can't get cool. We have to spend half of a minicamp showing a quarterback how to form a proper huddle.
Yeah.
Forget about being under – forget about the center exchange. So right. I think this league can really help to benefit quarterbacks. We got a pretty good group of quarterbacks here right now, and we have two good coaches that have worked with quarterbacks in the past, Steve Fairchild and especially Terry Shea, that are helping to bring these young guys along.
Yeah, Fairchild spent some time here as a quarterbacks coach, I believe, not too long ago.
Brian, so right now you have guys that are not currently on any NFL roster. Do you think you can get to the point where, and we talk about this with even one of our own quarterbacks in Cardale Jones, with so little experience coming out of Ohio State, do you think you can get to the point where the NFL teams will let these guys go and play in your league since you're only playing right now in April?
Well, I will tell you what, as you know, the CBA in 2011 was changed dramatically from what it was in years past. And I can tell you that the way the CBA is drafted now, I don't believe NFL Europe would have ever existed, because you can't even get guys in the offseason and put them in a classroom and train them, let alone put them on the field. So I will tell you that even though I don't have an official relationship with the National Football League, I enjoy a very cordial relationship with them. They're all good guys over there. Everybody seems to be behind what I'm doing. At a minimum, they've shown me tacit support by way of sending representation here in the form of scouts. Even Ozzie Newsome, general manager from the Ravens, is going to be over here for a few days. So they recognize a need for this. It falls at a good time on the NFL calendar, and that January is the All-Star Circuit. February is the Combine. March, respectively, is for pro days. And then you have this lull. Since the NFL has, you know, moved their draft back, you have this lull that exists for about 3 or 4 weeks that I think comes at a good time. So why not come down here, find some guys that are game ready, get them into camp, and use more of your rookie pool money to maybe go after a quarterback you're looking for as an undrafted type player. But ultimately, our goal is to form an official relationship. And I will tell you, on the record or off the record, however you want to frame this, and I won't name the specific team, but there's already been some referrals. There's already been some players that teams have sent my way and said, Brian, will you put this guy in? We'd like to see him a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it goes a lot farther than watching a guy at, let's say, the Veterans Combine work out in T-shirt and shorts, to see a guy in pads, helmet, in a live game setting that I think everybody agrees is going to benefit a younger player.
With Brian Wood, CEO of the Spring League, going on, their training camp going on right now down in West Virginia. So the structure of the league, Brian, four teams, six games, all of them in the month of April. Do these players get paid for playing in the Spring League?
That's a good point. They do not. And the model of this is really, as I tell people all the time, it's an opportunity. It's not a paycheck. And if you look at the NBA Summer League, it's structurally, it's very similar to how that model was developed. Most of the guys in the NBA Summer League, I'd say about 95% of them come in. They receive housing. They receive meals. They even sign a waiver saying if they get injured, they're not going to hold the NBA team responsible for their medical bills. And these are billion-dollar entities. So I had to create something that was going to be sustainable, something that could operate over a condensed time format. But the one thing I can tell you is if you talk to the players that are down here right now, they're all being housed. They're all being fed very well. The Greenbrier Resort, every day we do a few meals on site, and the meals are exceptional. So the guys are all very happy. and they realize this exists for what it is, and that we're providing them with the platform to be seen, something that doesn't exist. And I think everyone sees the true benefit in this. We feel like we have a very sustainable business model in what we're doing.
Start playing next week, I believe, or the game, the 15th, which is what, this Saturday?
That's correct. So our first game, it was a very quick installation period for these players, and we do limit, just to be very transparent here, we do limit the installation. So we'll run out of only, the offense will run out of the three most popular personnel groups you're going to see in the NFL. The defense will be limited to some extent. We want these guys flying around, not having to think too much, and really being able to showcase their skills. So it's a quick installation period. First game is the 15th. We have another game on the 16th, 22nd, 23rd. And then we have the last set of games. It's a short window, very similar when the NFL plays a Sunday-Thursday schedule. So we'll play those last set of games on the 25th and 26th.
The games will be televised, Brian?
Right now, we are talking to different streaming partners, and we've had a lot of different unique opportunities come our way, even through the form of Facebook, who has taken a liking to our business model. But we're not in a position yet to announce what, if any, that's going to look like right now. We are looking at potentially doing a streaming thing, and hopefully within the next day or two, we're going to be able to announce that. The biggest thing for us this year, though, is to have all the games filmed, and they're being done very professionally. We have BB Sport here, which is a video system that works with a lot of the NFL clubs. So all the film that's taken here from practice and games is going to be sent to the NFL so all the teams can pull it down and evaluate players accordingly.
Brian, are you allowed to give us some of the names of the guys that are playing in the league, some names that people would know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will tell you that guys like Ben Tater here, Ahmad Bradshaw, who I think a lot of people will recognize. Ahmad just reported a couple of days ago. Guys like Jalen Saunders, who was a fourth-round draft pick a few years ago. Sam Montgomery. A lot of good young guys like Manessa Gardner, Adrian Hubbard. So we've got a good number of guys that are here right now that have been on active rosters. Josh Robinson, another one of our running backs that was a draft pick a couple of years ago. Jonathan Amosa is lining up at one of our fullback spots. He was active for a week or two last year. So the core player in this league is ages 23 through 25, a developmental guy, a guy who's been on a practice squad, a guy who's really on his way back. That being said, I did kind of add a few veterans here and there, a sprinkling, if you will, of guys that have some name recognition to really kind of help us promote the league in year one. But essentially what we're looking for are these developmental players that can be given more repetitions and can find their way back on an NFL roster.
Got a buddy, Booby Dixon, Anthony Dixon, right? He's on the spring
training
roster.
That's right. Matter of fact, it's so funny. I was just out in the parking lot speaking to Anthony, admiring his Porsche as he drove up. He was just getting in to get a workout, and I was walking up the steps to get into my office so I could do this radio interview, but I just was speaking to Booby a few minutes ago. So he's been great. You know, he's a real personality. The guys all like him here. So we've got a good group of, you know, listen, a guy like him, most NFL clubs might look at him and say, okay, he's at a certain age. Shelf life of a back in the NFL is so short. But he's a guy who's very passionate and a guy that, even with Ben, you know, Ben Tate sat in my office yesterday, and he's loving this opportunity. He told me, he said, Brian, if you did this and this league was set up where it was a 5 or 6 week process, I never would have come down here, because he owns a few businesses right now. He's done very well for himself, and he's quite entrepreneurial by nature. So I think the condensed time format is also helping us to attract some of these guys that might still have some gas left in the tank.
I want to ask you about the coaches. You mentioned Steve Fairchild. You mentioned Terry Shea. Mike Westhoff, one of the best special teams coaches really in the last 20 years, he's on your roster of coaches, huh?
Yeah, no, that was an unfortunate thing. Mike was slated to be involved with our efforts this year and had to get knee surgery and was not going to be full go in time. And I offered to provide him with a golf cart, but he wasn't, as he said eloquently, that if he had to do it half blink, he wasn't going to be down here. So I think he essentially had to bow out due to his knee ailment. But we also have Donnie Henderson here. Donnie Henderson is here and doing an exceptional job with our defensive back. We have Art Valero here, who's working with our offensive line that coached for several years in the NFL. So I've been very happy with the guys that are here working with our players. You don't recognize all the names, but a lot of these guys are really good teachers and instructors, and I think for the younger players especially, they need those kind of they need meaningful repetitions and they need good instruction while they're here, even if it is over a short period of time.
Ryan, there's almost, it seems, universal agreement that there needs to be a developmental league for pro football. Why not the spring league, right? It sounds like you're trying to establish this group as maybe the place to go with a short season, and you don't have to compensate players and, you know, kind of the right mix of young veterans maybe who need one more look. This sounds like it might be the wave of the future here, Brian.
That's true. And I did fail to mention another guy that's here, Greg Hardy, who's recognizable name. But and the one thing I would say, too, about Greg is that he's been tremendous since he's been here. I actually reached out to his agent a couple of nights ago, and I said, I just wanted to let you know we were expecting a different person, and he's been a model citizen since he's been here. He's staying on the field afterwards and working with our younger defensive line to show him things. So I've been pleasantly surprised. I know that, you know, he's gotten a bad rap, but we've been very happy to have him here. Terry Shea actually singled him out the other day after practice just to kind of point out that he's leading by example. And so we're very happy about that. And the one thing I would say to your last comment, John, is that the NFL does need a developmental league. And I think what they're looking for is something along these lines. I think anything they've even come up with or even started to formulate internally probably exists in a centralized facility with everybody in one locale. And I think that's what the NFL teams find very attractive about our business model, that, number one, it looks sustainable. Two, you can come and see all the players in one location. And the condensed time format seems to be very attractive. And as you know, NFL Europe existed for several years. They got some players out of it. They developed referees out of it. But at the end of the day, it was not very sustainable. And a lot of owners were burned by NFL Europe. And it's hard to get these guys around the concept of going back to a league that has different markets and all over the country and team travels associated with that. So we basically eliminate all the major costs associated with the traditional sports league. We have eliminated player pay. We don't have the high cost with multiple venues. We don't have travel associated with it. So I think this is sustainable, and I think the NFL is probably going to take a look at this from afar, and hopefully we can get to a formal relationship at some point.
Brian, how excited are the locals down there in West Virginia?
You know, this is a great football state. They love Mountaineer football in the state of West Virginia, but they don't currently have any professional teams, and so what we've noticed just in the last week, once we arrived here at the Greenbrier, is people really started to get excited. The buzz is starting to build. People are amazed at some of the names that are actually participating in this. And so I don't see it being an overnight success, and I think it might take a little while to build a fan base and get these people to buy into it, and that we're not just going to be here this year. We're going to be here for many years to come. But I think ultimately it's they're pretty excited about the Spring League, especially in their own backyard.
Good luck with this, Brian. Thanks for coming on the show with us today to talk about it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, John.
Brian Woods is the CEO of the Spring League. They're in training camp right now down in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. We thank Brian for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Got more to come in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones, John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're here until 3 o'clock today. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk with Kevin Weidel of ESPN about the draft. Some of these questions, some of your prospect questions, people throwing at us, really belong to Kevin Weidel, right? He would tell us about Mo Alley Cox. And
we're going to take calls while he's on?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. He's all about that. Our Twitter poll today. It is a little bit draft news. It's, I don't know, I find it interesting. Reports out there that the Bills are working out Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes. Picture out there of Bills owner Terry Pegula and head coach Sean McDermott at a workout with Mitch Trubisky in Chapel Hill yesterday. The report came out last week from Ian Rappaport that the Bills are going to work out Pat Mahomes. Does that mean the Bills are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? Is that what's happening here? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Or you can respond on our Twitter poll. 750 votes in so far. 46% of you say no, they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round at number 10. 43% say it's a smokescreen. It's baloney. 11% say yes, they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't know. What are you laughing about? I think it's.
I was laughing at something else, man. My bad. Now, when you look at this, it can be so many different things because right now there's so much that goes on right now with different guys coming in. They're visiting to different pro days. There's so much smoke screening going on out there. Teams are really interested in people, but they won't show that they're interested in people. Teams will draft a guy in the first round that they've never even talked to, really. I mean, we've heard that before. So it's like you can't even believe anything right now. No matter what you see and no matter what you hear, you can't really believe anything. For me, I don't think that they'll draft one in the first round. With you only have six picks, you got to be sure that this is a bona fide franchise quarterback.
Yeah, you got six picks and you got a quarterback class that with many, many doubts about whether any of them are bona fide first-round caliber starting quarterbacks. A couple of tweets on this. John Jones says, it's a smokescreen, and I love it. Get some trade bait or get someone to jump ahead of you and grab one. I mean, that to me might be the most logical explanation, especially in light of the fact that T.J. Yates is now in the quarterback room, four quarterbacks on the roster now. You put these reports out there about these potential first-round quarterbacks. You try to get somebody interested in, well, we better move up if we're going to get our guy, whether it's Trubisky or Mahomes or whomever. We better move up, and maybe we should call Buffalo because they look like they're interested in a quarterback.
And, you know, when you look at it, they signed T.J. Yates, a guy who's played in this offense, a guy who, you know, knows how to navigate this offense. We talked about last week when we asked the question, you know, should they draft a first-round quarterback or should they bring one in through free agency? And we kept saying, like, they need to bring a guy in through free agency because you have your starting quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, that is still in his developmental process. You have your backup quarterback at that time was only Cardale Jones, who's definitely in the developmental process. You know, so you need to have a veteran in the room that has won some games for you. T.J. Yates has played in the playoffs. He's won a playoff game. He's played in that system for some years now. You know, so when he gets into that room, he can help Tyrod learn that offense. He can help him navigate everything in that offense. And it's not just the coaches that have to teach Tyrod. Now he has somebody that's on the field that has been in this situation or at least been in this offense and played in a playoff game. I think it only helps Tyrod. It doesn't make sense to draft a rookie quarterback.
Andrew Haskell tweets in there, not taking a quarterback now that they signed Yates as the backup. And there was another tweet, I can't find it, who said, but the structure of Tyrod's new contract, his reconfigured contract, makes it possible that the Bills would look at his replacement
It would make it possible. It definitely would make it possible. I still go back to you only have six picks, all right? So if they draft the one, I mean, they better be sure that he's the guy moving forward, you know? If that's the reason, because you look at Tyrod Taylor and he's, you know, the way his contract is structured, I mean, you just better be sure that he's the guy. And you hear everybody talk about next year's class of quarterbacks. For me, it would make sense to draft one of those guys next year and let these guys this year go because you only have six picks and you have holes across the board on this team.
Tom from the west side of Buffalo wants to chime in on this. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. If it's so deep at cornerback and defensive back and tight end and wide receiver, why wouldn't the Bills go for a quarterback in the first round? Because it's not deep. You want to get a quality player for a quality pick.
Well, but Tom, there's no quality quarterbacks.
Exactly.
I mean,
is there a quarterback who merits the 10th overall pick? I don't think so. All the experts say that's not the case. Tom, what are you saying?
I understand that, but New England drafts a quarterback every year, and I understand we're limited on picks.
New England does not draft a quarterback every year.
No.
They don't.
They don't. They definitely don't. And New England, they definitely don't draft. I mean, the last one they drafted was what? Garoppolo. Did they draft? What was the guy that played against us this year? I can't remember the third string quarterback name.
Yeah,
so they drafted him as well. But what round did they draft him in?
I don't know.
We're talking about a first round top 10 pick. If you draft in the first round, you got to be sure about the player. But if you draft in the top 10, I mean, you're basically saying you want this guy to come in here and start right away. All right? So I don't think that's what the Bills are looking at right now. They're not looking at drafting a guy and saying we want you to start right away. You have your guys from last year that didn't start right away, the guy out in L.A., but that's rare that you have a guy go one over, like your number one pick, and he doesn't play right away. This guy, I mean, this year, I don't think any of these guys warrant a top 10 pick. Now, if you take them later in the first round where you have that franchise quarterback and they can sit, I'm totally fine with that, but not top 10. You need the guy to come in here and play right away. I don't care how deep the draft is in corner, a wide receiver, or a tight end. You take one of those guys.
All right, more on this, plus a look around the National Football League when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yes, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today. Thanks for tuning in. If you're listening on radio on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, perhaps you're watching and listening on MSG. Great to have you along with us on an interesting day. We just took a look outside a moment ago, Donald.
It's nice.
Windy, warm, weird, I think. It is
weird.
Unsettled conditions.
Right, because it's warm, but it's windy, which makes it feel a little bit chilly. But it's a nice day here in Orchard Park, man. Especially we had the snow on, what, Friday?
It was Friday. We hit 4 inches. Yeah, crazy.
People couldn't get in and out of, you know, you had to go pick up your wife from the airport. She couldn't get in. It was a lot going on.
Yeah. T.J. Yates, right, had trouble getting in?
Trouble, yeah.
T.J. joined us in the first hour. The Bills signed him to a contract today. I guess he's a journeyman quarterback, right? This is his fourth different team now. T.J. Yates in the quarterback room. Are we willing to talk about that with you? The phone line's open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of issues, though, we need to address around the league because, as usual, on Mondays there's a lot of house cleaning. Stuff comes up over the weekend, Donald, that people read about, think about. Marshawn Lynch, we talked a lot, several times last week, about Marshawn going back to his hometown team, the Oakland Raiders, to resume his football career. Hasn't happened yet. There's tweets and reports out there today that Lynch has privately expressed an interest in playing for the Patriots if the talks break off with the Oakland Raiders. That's a little crazy, but, you know, we're talking about Marshawn here.
We are talking about Marshawn, but you know, I'm sure, you know, Marshawn would have a couple of people that would call him that have played for the Patriots and say, don't do it. Regardless of...
Like you? Have you done that?
I have not done that, but I would.
You tell him not to do it, even if he had no other alternative.
It is not his place. Even if he has... I mean, if you have no other alternative and you look at it as a place that you can go and win for 1 year, yeah. But, you know, Bill Belichick... I mean, Marshawn doesn't talk to the media anyway, so that's Bill Belichick's
motto. Maybe he'd like that.
But Marshawn is the type of guy that, like, you know, he breathes, he does everything the way he wants to do it, you know, and in New England you can't do that. You do everything the Patriot way, and that is not Marshawn Lynch's way, you know. So
they brought in Corey Dillon years ago, they succeeded with him. They brought in Randy Moss, succeeded with him as a role player. I'm just saying it's not maybe as implausible as you might suggest.
I mean
they got characters on that team, and you got a guy who doesn't talk to the media, which I'm certainly Belichick would be on board with that. And look at the team he'd join, you know. I don't know.
It'd be a lot of people who are upset if he went to the Patriots.
Where?
Just around the country. Like, people that are not Patriots fans, like, oh, they signed Marshawn Lynch. Like, come on, man. What are they doing? You already look at the offseason that they've had. It's like, now you bring in Marshawn Lynch. They do need, though. They haven't signed LeGarrette Blount back. They are looking for that bruising back. We know they had Adrian Peterson in on a visit.
Fighting with Blount now, over at least trying to wait him out on contracts.
Right. So, you know, the question becomes, if they're fighting with LeGarrette Blount on contracts, right now, obviously, Marshawn is still under contract for the Seahawks. If the Seahawks just release him, or do they trade him? If they trade him, then, you know, the Patriots have to absorb that contract. If they release him, does he go and play for whatever the Patriots are willing to offer? I don't know how much they're willing to offer at this point.
Just something to throw out there. Marshawn Lynch, according to some reports, has expressed privately an interest in playing with the New England Patriots. And he expresses it privately because Marshawn doesn't express anything publicly to the media, right? It'd be very interesting to watch. Marshawn is part of this group, too. An arm wrestling contest at the MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas, reportedly featuring more than 30 current and former players, including Marshawn Lynch, Steelers linebacker James Harrison. Mm-hmm. It took place April 5th through the 9th last week. It's going to be on TV in late May, the championship round in June. at a casino at in Las Vegas. The Pro Football Arm Wrestling Championship. An NFL spokesman tells ESPN that the league is looking into it further. Participating players could be in violation of the league's gambling policy and may face fines. League personnel prohibited from making promotional appearances at casinos or other gambling-related establishments. Correct me if I'm wrong. Just 2 weeks ago, the owners approved moving the Raiders to Las Vegas.
Right.
I don't get
and
this.
Gambling was not that big of an issue.
Not that big of an issue for them. And now, I guess it took place, you know, the contest took place at a casino. But what are they trying to say? Harrison, James Harrison, Marshawn Lynch, Dolphins receiver Kenny Stills, Niners linebacker Navarro Bowman, Raiders punter Marquette King, reportedly among the players listed in the contest, which has already taken place. There may be fines. Are you kidding me, NFL?
I mean,
it's time to back off on that a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You're moving to Vegas, which means at some point every player in this league is going to be in Vegas. Is going to be in Vegas at some point when they're playing the Raiders. Either you're playing for the Raiders or you're playing against them, and you're going to be staying probably in a casino. You know, so you're not going to say, "Well, guys, we're staying in a casino, but you can't go downstairs to the casino." No, doesn't work like that. I mean, you got to understand what you just got yourself into. And these guys are arm wrestling. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. I get the rules of the rules, but
yeah,
they're arm wrestling.
And this came up, remember, a couple of years ago when Tony Romo was scheduled to be at a fantasy football convention in Las Vegas. The league overruled him on that. The league, Joe Lockhart, NFL Vice President of Communications, said, had we been asked in advance if this was acceptable, we would have said it was in direct violation of the gambling prohibition, but nobody sought pre-approval. But
I'm sorry.
The landscape has changed, man.
Right.
Things are different now with the team, with the Raiders moving to Las Vegas.
You can't move a team to Vegas now. I mean, they're going to cause – you're going to see a lot of headlines coming out of Vegas. When the Raiders move there, there's going to be a lot of headlines about guys going in there and gambling. And so, you know, the league, the NFL, which is a league that's trying to avoid any type of bad publicity, they're going to bring bad publicity upon them. They really are. And you might not even have a guy who's actually – you might have a player that just walks through a casino. Guess what? It's somebody's going to be in there. Somebody's going to take a picture, and that person's going to be investigated. And it's going to come out on ESPN and be a headline. I mean,
it's time for the NFL to reevaluate its gambling, at least its casino policy.
Yeah,
I would think, and maybe it should have been done before they approved the Raiders move. You know, you can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways.
You can't say we're okay to move a team to Las Vegas, but you're not okay.
You're not going to regulate the players from going into these casinos. You're just not. You know, these guys, when they travel into a city, you know, Murph, you travel with the team, they have off time. And guys will go and eat. They will go and do whatever it is that they do. You go to Vegas, the chances are that you're going to be staying in a casino. And so the chances are that you're going to walk past one. And, I mean,
that's
what are
crazy.
We talking
they
about?
They got to take crazy. A look at that. This came up over the weekend. Maybe, I think it might have been even this morning. Myles Garrett, in many minds, going to be the odds-on favorite to be the number one pick in the draft 2 weeks from Thursday by the Cleveland Browns, pass rush specialist. Myles Garrett is trying to encourage the Browns to take him number one overall. In fact, he he had this quote from ESPN, Myles Garrett. It said, "If you don't draft me number one, I will punish your team for the next 10 to 12 years. I'll knock your quarterback out of the game every time we play you. And I'll have to kick the hell out of number one, whoever it is." Myles Garrett lays down the Texas A&M lays down the challenge to the Cleveland Browns. Draft me number one overall, or you will regret it. I will punish you. That's
the last.
Well, I admire his statement there, but that's really bold. Who talks like that before
bold.
They're even drafted?
You know what? The last person that said that went on to have a pretty good career. Peyton Manning. You remember? He said. I mean, he didn't say, you know, I'm gonna kick the hell out of him, but he said, if you don't draft me, I'm going to spend my entire career making sure you regret it. You know, and that's basically what Myles Garrett is saying. He just said different words.
What do you think motivates, in this case, let's leave Manning out of it, Myles Garrett? Look, he's probably going to be the number one. Mm-hmm. No matter where he goes, he's going to make a boatload of money. And if he's good enough, he'll be a great player. And some level, he's got to be thinking, you know, Cleveland, a team that, you know, is in the doldrums for years and years. Do I really want to go there? Why would he lay down a challenge to the Browns to do that? Is it all about the prestige of being the number one overall pick?
I think so.
What does that mean?
You
I
know
mean,
what?
What
because
good is that?
I've always said if you're not the number one overall pick, you should play with a chip on your shoulder. Even if you go second overall. Like, you should play with a chip on your shoulder because there is a team that passed you over.
But there's too many chips out there.
I mean, right.
There's
it
only one
be.
Number one player and 300 players drafted. That's way too many chips.
Every year, everybody needs to have a chip on their shoulder. Are we talking about Vegas?
No.
Put all your chips in. Nah, I mean, if you don't go number one overall, you do feel like, man, there's a team that overlooked me. Like, what is it about this player that he's so much better than me? Now, we're talking about this year. They're talking about a guy, and I think it's the guy from Stanford, the rusher from Stanford, being the number two overall pick. You think he doesn't – he's upset that everybody's just saying that Myles Garrett is better than him. He's a lock for number one. No, if you go number two or anything after that, you should be upset that you didn't go number one. And you should play like that every single day, every single game of your career.
I get upset, but I do think Myles Garrett is maybe crossed the line a little bit. I'll punish your quarterback. I'll hurt him. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a little bit over the top.
Here's the thing. We talked about you can't have a team full of good guys, and he seems like he's going to be one of those dogs coming into this league that if you don't take him number one, he's going to make you regret it. And that's his job, to punish quarterbacks, so I think that's just what he's saying.
Last thing we want to talk about is the brewing Instagram battle. I love this kind of social media stuff between LeSean McCoy and Kiko Alonso. So Kiko apparently posted a picture that included him, basically cartwheeling LeSean McCoy. You know, the two were traded for each other, obviously, a couple of years ago. Shady took exception and posted on his own Instagram account. He called him a bum. He said, your dad wish you was as good as me. Your new contract is garbage. It's my 2011 money. Take me off your page, you bum. Kiko said that. I'm reading exactly what he said.
Take me off.
This
your
is
page,
fun.
Bum.
You know, they're going to play each other a couple times next year. Yeah. This could be fun.
It is fun. This is, you know, it's just like fighters.
Yeah.
You know, fighters, they talk junk back and forth. I mean, we had the fighters on the show before us, the instigators. And, you know, they'll talk trash back and forth. I'm sure they talk trash, but they travel together, which is crazy to me. But this is just like that. You have guys that are on the field. These are, you know, warriors on the field. They're going to, obviously, Kiko's a linebacker, LeSean's a running back. Oh, they're going to see each other. And, you know, who comes out on top?
Shady calls him a bum, Kiko.
That's funny.
Pretty funny.
That's funny. Your dad wish he was as good as me?
All right, we'll break. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Rolling along, the John Murphy Show on a Monday afternoon. Tomorrow, Steve Tasker will join us on the show. Chris Manhertz, former Bills project tight end who played last season with the Saints, going to join us. Former Canisius College basketball player. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk heavy draft with Kevin Weidel, our buddy who is with a draft analyst with ESPN and Scouts, Inc. He is a SEC Network host and analyst. We're going to talk about the draft, obviously, about these quarterbacks in the draft, obviously, especially given the fact that the Bills have been reportedly expressing some interest in some of these quarterbacks. But here's the thing, listeners, viewers, if you have any questions about the draft, your favorite prospects, we take a lot of these calls during the show, and I don't think – would you describe yourself as a draft expert?
No.
Me neither.
No.
But I this mean, guy is.
Not a scout.
Yeah, this guy, Kevin Weidel, is and does the groundwork, so he'll know deep into the draft who's who, and this is the time to phone us up and ask him the questions about your favorite draft prospect. So the lines will be open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You know, before today, I would have guessed we're not going to spend much time talking about the quarterback prospects with Kevin Weidel. Now
maybe
I guess
we
have to, right, based
I mean,
on what we learned today.
All we talked about is, you know, tight end. We talked
corners.
About corners, wide receivers, and some outside linebackers. We haven't even really talked about outside linebackers.
Right.
You know, so I guess now we got to talk about quarterbacks because it's obvious that, you know, maybe they're looking at quarterbacks. Who knows? But they're at least visiting with these guys and bringing them in here to talk to them. So I guess we should be talking about some quarterbacks.
Maybe it's a smokescreen. Maybe it's just due diligence. But I don't know. The Bills, the picture is out there with Terry Pegula and Sean McDermott at the workout for Mitch Trubisky yesterday. And the report last week that there's going to be a workout for Pat Mahomes. And a weekend report about Doug Whaley, I guess, loving Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, yeah.
Which
so
stuns me.
That's
I haven't
all
got
of them.
That from Doug Whaley at all.
The only one that you haven't heard about is Deshaun Kizer.
Maybe that's coming later this week. If the smoke screen's out there, why not throw them all into the smoke?
Right.
Taylor DeGeorge tweets in, they're just making sure they are not good, these quarterbacks. Don't worry. They are not going to draft them. I'm not worried, but I think it's worth talking about.
It is worth talking about. I mean, you're talking about bringing in quarterbacks here when you just signed your quarterback, at least for the next couple of years, regardless of how his contract is structured. Then you went and signed T.J. Yates. You know, and you're talking about a team that your starting quarterback still needs to be developed, but you're still out here looking at these guys, at these quarterbacks. You're talking about like all national guys, all national reporters and scouts saying that none of these guys really warrant a top 10 pick, let alone a first round pick, but yet you're still out there looking. Maybe it is due diligence, maybe it's a smoke screen, we don't know, but it is worth talking about.
All right, so we'll talk about it. We'll talk with the man, Kevin Weidel, ESPN and Scouts Inc. draft analyst, coming up when we return. You can phone in your comments and questions right now at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. An hour to go, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where the Bills got busy today signing a couple of players, one of them a quarterback, a veteran, T.J. Yates, formerly a fifth-round pick of the Houston Texans in 2011, started games in Houston, actually started a playoff game for the Houston Texans and won it, played collegially at North Carolina. T.J. Yates came to Buffalo for a visit late last week, signed his contract today, was on the show with us a little bit earlier on, and we'll hear more from him coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also, the Bills signed a free agent, Ian Seau, a defensive end who spent training camp in preseason last year with the Los Angeles Rams. He was coached there by current Bills defensive line coach Mike Waffle. Seau is 24 years of age. He is the nephew of Hall of Fame linebacker Junior Seau. Offseason program continues for the Buffalo Bills today. Some hard running inside the AdPro Sports Training Center today. And three more NFL teams began their offseason programs, the Broncos, the 49ers, and the Rams. Up to 4 hours of dead ball work each day with only strength and conditioning coaches, and also some meeting time for the players with the Bills and those three other teams. Sabres ended their season with a loss last night, a 4-2 loss in Tampa. William Carrier and Evander Kane scored the goals for Buffalo. Sabres' Jack Eichel led the team in points at the end of the year with 57. Kane led the team in goals with 28. 23 wins for Robin Lehner. The Sabres players cleaned out their lockers today. Dan Bylsma, the coach, talked to the media after that. Said, we have to change if we expect to win. NHL playoffs begin on Wednesday. The Caps face the Leafs, and the defending Stanley Cup champion Penguins have home ice against Columbus. Also in the East, Montreal plays the Rangers. Ottawa goes up against the Boston Bruins. Sergio Garcia won his first major yesterday, the Masters. He needed two putts for par on the first playoff hole against Justin Rose and instead made a birdie putt to win the 81st Masters tournament. Bison 3-0 to start the season, off to a good start today. They're home against the Rochester Red Wings. Bisons lead it 3-0 in the bottom of the third. Left-hander T.J. House, the starting pitcher for the Herd in that game. It is John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones. We are just a little bit more than 2 weeks away from round one of the NFL draft coming up 2 weeks from this Thursday on the 27th. Getting set for the draft, and who better to set us up for the draft than a longtime friend of the show. Happy to have ESPN and Scouts, Inc. draft analyst Kevin Weidel on the line with us. Kevin, John Murphy, and Donald Jones, thank you very much for being with us here today. We appreciate it.
Hey, Murph, good to speak with you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We miss you. I'm glad you're able to make some time for us today on what's a pretty busy draft weekend or week coming up in a couple of weeks. We didn't spend much time talking about quarterbacks here, Kevin, but a couple of things happened here today that got us thinking about it, Donald and I, including the report that was out there that Bills coach Sean McDermott and team owner Terry Pegula yesterday went to a workout for Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. All along we've been told there are no top 10 caliber quarterbacks in this draft. Are there, in fact, in your mind, and is there going to be a quarterback to go in the first 10 picks of the draft in a couple of weeks?
You know what? I think there will, Murph. There's questions with all of them this year. I don't think there's an elite guy. Trubisky, you have the concerns with the third team starts, but the one thing you like about him is his presence in the pocket. He shows the ability to get through reads. He feels pressure naturally and can slide and keep his eyes down the field and work through his progressions. There's some things he needs to clean up. Obviously, some decision-making at times. There was various points in the game, critical moments. You saw the Stanford Bowl game where he threw a couple poor interceptions. But the thing I liked about that was he battled back and brought them all the way down the field to essentially tie the game late in the game. So you like the ability to kind of erase the early mistake and kind of have that short-term memory and bounce back in a critical situation. Now you're going you have to sit down with him and understand him and kind of get his presence. How is he going to be in the locker room? Does he have that presence to be the natural leader of a team with only 13 starts and being such a, you know, not having a ton of experience? A lot of questions, but I think there's a lot of upside with him too. It'll be interesting to see whether I think eventually you'll see maybe one or two guys go in the top 10, but I think it's a pretty big risk this year taking a quarterback that early.
Kevin, with the way that the college offenses have moved now with so much spread systems across the land, I mean, not just quarterbacks, but all positions now, it's hard to really evaluate these players because of the way they're asked in college, the things that they're asked to do. But the way these college systems are now, when we're talking about the quarterback position, moving forward, will we really ever be able to say, like, this guy is ready to play in the league? Because nobody's playing in pro-style offenses.
Yeah, there's very few playing in pro-style systems. There's a few this year. I mean, Nathan Peterman coming out of Pitt, Brad Kaya, they're kind of more day two, day three prospects. But the top-tier guys this year have come from spread systems, looking at Deshaun Watson, Trubisky, who we just talked about, Deshaun Kizer coming out of Notre Dame, Patrick Mahomes played in a wide-open shootout, throw it all over the yard type of offense. So those four guys, it becomes a little bit harder to evaluate quarterbacks. You got to watch the tapes more. See their ability to work the entire field, get through the progression. You don't see those type of reads. They're far and few between in those systems than guys compared to coming out of the pro-style system, like a Jameis Winston coming out of Florida State, where there are multiple and had some pro-style elements to their game in the offensive system. I think it becomes, you got to bring them in meeting room. You got to put them on the whiteboard, see what they know, how to read coverages. And some of these guys aren't taught to read coverages in college, which is kind of crazy to me because that's the way I was taught coming out of when I was playing quarterback in college. It's the safeties tell you everything. So some of these guys, it starts from square one. But most of them, guys coming in, so it's important to get them on the whiteboard, see what they know, and see what type of project they're going to be, not only physically but mentally, making that jump from the college level to the NFL.
On the line with Kevin Weidel, draft analyst for ESPN and Scouts, Inc. You mentioned a second ago, Kevin, that maybe there'll be two quarterbacks in the top 10 picks, and if we assume that Trubisky is one, who's the other in your mind?
I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson, and there's some flaws to his game, obviously. The decision-making, the accuracy in the intermediate to the deep part of the field can become more consistent. I think he can get better in the pocket at times when his first and second read isn't there. He has a chance to kind of leave the pocket early instead of working the entire field at times. But, man, when you watch him on tape and you need a big play, a big drive, or there's a big moment, this guy's got that it factor a lot of people talk about, that clutch gene to elevate not only his play but his teammates' play. He's battle-tested, played in a lot of big games. He's got really good presence and intangibles. So you know he's going to walk into a locker room and kind of command that. And that might outweigh some of his flaws, and it might be able to overcome some of his flaws at the next level. It's going to be interesting to see how these teams evaluate him because there's a lot of risk to it, but then there's also that element that you see in a lot of these starting quarterbacks like the Russell Wilsons, like the Dak Prescotts that come from, you know, that come into the league and have that type of presence to them, along with that mobility to extend plays. So there's a lot – he's a tough evaluation because there's a lot of flaws to his game. But then in the big moments, this guy always seems to rise to the occasion. He's got great intangibles, and he's a true leader, Murph.
Kevin, what are the big flaws in Watson's game?
I just mentioned the intermediate to deep accuracy at times can be very inconsistent. The interception total, obviously, 30 kind of bugs you a little bit. 30 total for his career. And then the ability to handle the pocket at times, it gets a little frantic, a little frigidity, and will panic at times and evacuate a clean pocket. Where in the NFL, you got to be able to sit in there and work your progression. A little bit of inconsistency on that stage. So I think he can overcome it, but I don't think he's going to be ready to play right away. I think you better have a plan for him to kind of sit, observe early on. That would be ideal. for Watson making that transition.
Kevin, when you have so many quarterbacks that everybody's talking about going in the first round, at least in the top four, everybody has major flaws in their game. Everybody's coming from spread systems. Trubisky obviously only played 1 year. Ultimately, you have a guy like Deshaun Watson who has played on the biggest stages, played against the best defense in college football, and played very well twice and beat them this past year in the national championship. Ultimately, that should outweigh everybody else, right?
Well, it certainly comes into to play there. I mean, you're looking at what he did against an Alabama defense. That's an NFL defense the Crimson Tide put on that field. I mean, there is going to be a lot of NFL talent coming from that defense from last year to this year. And you guys are going to see, hopefully, Reggie Ragland makes the return, the second-round pick for you guys last year, coming back with a knee injury. Hopefully he comes in. But he was a big-time player coming out of Alabama. So there's a lot of NFL talent. This guy, maybe he has some flaws. He's going to make some mistakes. But like I said, when the pressure turns on and he needs to elevate his game, he comes through in the clutch. And I think that is one of the biggest traits in evaluating quarterbacks is what they do in the big moments. And it's hard to argue that Deshaun Watson hasn't delivered in those critical moments throughout his career.
On the line with Kevin Weidel, draft analyst for ESPN and Scouts, Inc. He knows about Alabama's defense. He is a host and analyst on the SEC Network. You're welcome to phone up a question with your favorite prospect, somebody you want to know about in the draft, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Call here from Dan in Hamburg. Hi, Dan. Go ahead. You're on the air with Kevin Weidel.
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about Chad Kelly, if it's not a subject that's been too much overdone. I'd like to know when Kevin thinks he's going to go in the draft, and if it's lower than the third round, I'd like to know why, assuming that it's the character issue.
What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen with Kelly. You know, obviously he didn't have the season coming off the injury mid-season there, and then tried to work out his pro day and had the wrist injury. The concerns you have is the quarterback position. It's the hardest position to play in sports, guys. And you got to have a quarterback that's going to set the bar, be the leader of the team, come in and command the team and do the right thing and have those leadership skills. When you have those character concerns at that certain position, it's going to really hurt you, and it's going to cause some teams to waver at times. And that's why I think you're going to see Kelly eventually fall into the – I would say the late rounds, potentially, maybe even as a free agent. But I think if he goes in that sixth, if someone picks him up in the sixth, seventh, you might have someone that can come in as more talent than where he's taken. But it's all going to come down to him, his commitment, his maturity as a leader playing that position. That's just so critical. You got to have it, and you got to be the guy that's first in, first out, doing everything you possibly can to help not only yourself, but the organization to succeed. You are the face of the franchise as a quarterback. And a lot of the things fall on you. So, to me, I think for Kelly, it's not where he ends up. If he ends up being a late-round pick or a free agent, he's got to come in and really mature, not only on the field but as well as off the field.
Hey, Kevin, if Chad Kelly didn't have the injuries, he didn't have the knee injury, he didn't have the wrist issue that he had at his pro day, we've heard people say that he has, you know, second, at maybe even a first-round talent. Would we be talking about him going still in like the second or third round? I mean, you talk about Jameis Winston. This is a guy that had all types of issues off the field, but he still went number one overall. So would Chad Kelly still be going that high if he didn't have the injuries?
I think you'd see him in the second, third round. I think he's a guy that's got really good arm talent. He's got underrated mobility. He can make all the throws. The things you have concern with him is reining him in. Takes a lot of risks with the football. And we'll throw some interceptions. We'll deliver some big plays as well. So it's kind of high risk, high reward with him. I think talent-wise, just sheer talent-wise on the field, I think he's worthy of a day two grade. Certainly do.
Another call here for Kevin Weidel, our draft analyst, the expert from ESPN and Scouts, Inc. A call from Richard calling all the way from Texas. Richard, go ahead. You're on the air with Kevin Weidel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Kevin, I have a question about Garrett Bowles. I don't hear many people talking about him, the offensive tackle from Utah. I think he's like a future Pro Bowler. I think he should be a top 10 pick, but I don't hear anybody talking about him. I just want to know what you think about him.
I like Garrett Bowles. I do. The one thing concerned about him is he's a 1 year starter at Utah, but he's a little bit older, but he's got really good feet. He's probably one of the more athletic offensive linemen in this class. Got tremendous feet, long arms. Plays with a little bit of an edge. You love to see that nasty side in offensive linemen. really good on the pole game, down pulls in space, adjusting to throw on the defenders in space. So he does a really good job in that area. And I think he's got really good feet and pass pro, the lateral agility. You love to see all that. Can get a little bit stronger in his core. You saw that against USC, gave up some water a little bit against them. But to me, I think he's probably the top tackle in this class. If you're evaluating him and Ryan Ramczyk, I think Bowles is a little bit better. To me, I'm looking at the offensive line class. I think the cleanest prospect, guys, maybe Forrest Lamp out at Western Kentucky. I know he's not probably not going to play offensive tackle, but I think he's a versatile interior offensive lineman that can play all three positions inside, can bounce out to offensive tackle if you need him in emergency situations. But if you're just talking about a pure tackle, I think Garrett Bowles certainly is the top tackle in this class. And I expect him to go somewhere in the teens, that 10 to 20 overall range.
Kevin, is the offensive line class really as weak as everybody's making it out to be, or is everybody else, every other position, just that strong?
Well, there's a lot of really deep positions. You look at the running back class and the secondary defensive edge rushers is certainly up there. But I think this offensive line class, not as strong at the top, but there's some quality depth. I think guys like Taylor Mouton out of Western Michigan, a guy can play right tackle, I think can bump inside the guard. Deion Dawkins, I'm a big fan of from Temple, has the versatility, played left tackle at Temple. I think he's going to end up being a guard. That's where he showed at Mobile at the Senior Bowl, did a really good job down there. I think he's a good offensive line with a lot of inline power. Cam Robinson, where does he come off the board? Interesting to see with him, all the talent in the world in terms of feet, length, what you want from them, but just so inconsistent with his technique. Jermaine Elamanora out of Texas A&M, another guy to keep an eye on. Dan Feeney out of Indiana. So there's some depth. Antonio Garcia, who I didn't mention, out of Troy. There's some depth, I think, in that second to third round. I just think if you're looking for the premier offensive tackles that we usually see within the top 10 range, I just don't think there is one this year.
All right. So, Kevin, we got to get into some Bills talk, and I have to ask you, where do you think the Bills will go with the number 10 pick?
That's a tough question. At the quarterback position, seems more and more as we're getting late into the season. Guys, you got to have one. Tyrod Taylor, obviously a little bit inconsistent. There's some waiver on the confidence with him and with the current restructuring of his contract, whether they're going to keep him or not. I think eventually they'll end up potentially maybe trying to get a quarterback at that 10 spot. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson. Maybe it's Mitch Trubisky. Just because you got to have one to have your future, you just have to find one, and you got to keep swinging until you find one, to be honest with you. If not, I think wide receiver certainly could be a spot. I think Corey Davis could fit the mold for them as opposite of Sammy Watkins, especially with the loss of Robert Woods. But you look at Corey Davis, obviously wasn't able to work out for teams with the ankle injury, but you watch him on tape, he's got good size. I think he's a savvy route runner. He has some drops to him, but those drops get outweighed by the big plays that he can manufacture, not only with the range he has going up and playing the football, but the run after the catch ability with the speed he has. So I think that could be a guy to certainly keep an eye on. If not, maybe one of those safeties should drop to Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams from LSU. I think if one of those two guys drops him at the 10th spot, it'd be hard-pressed to pass on one of those two players. I think they're impact defenders.
Got a question for you about Jamal Adams. It comes from John in Rochester. John, go ahead. You're on the air with Kevin Weidel.
Good afternoon. I'm all about safeties this year. What do you think, and you touched on this, is Adams likely to fall to the 10th spot? And if he isn't, can the Bills trade back to the mid-20s and pick up Peppers? I just feel that the Bills really need a safety, and all the other places can be picked up later in the draft. Thank you.
All right. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think Adams is going to make it to 10. I think he's one of, if you're just talking about the three best football players in this class, I think he's one of them. He's got long arms. He's a guy that's really instinctive. He can play man coverage, a lot of flexibility and athleticism to him. But I love the instincts. He's always in position. He's reliable in run support. And he plays with such infectious energy, guys. It really kind of bounces off to his teammates. So I love the way he plays, the passion he plays with, and he does a lot. There's not much he can't do. So, to me, I think Jamal Adams being there at 10, I think it's a reach. I think it's a slim chance he's going to be there at 10, I should say. And in terms of trading back and picking up Jabril Peppers, I think it's a little early for him, guys. I know he's a good football player. I just have concerns about where you're going to play him on the defensive side of the ball. He's not great in one area. I think there's some real concerns about his instincts and a little bit of tightness in coverage. Allows a lot of separation when he's in the back end. And then when he's up in the box, he's a guy that can read it and go get it. But if he gets caught in traffic, he gets caught and watched by offensive linemen, he really gets thrown around at times. I think for Jabril Peppers, his biggest asset could potentially be as a returner. He is explosive with the ball in his hands, maybe even on the offensive side of the ball. But you better have a good package and a good game plan for Jabril Peppers, especially if you're going to take him in the first round.
You know, there have been some, obviously, since the Senior Bowl, the one person that people have heard about that wasn't really on the radar was Obi Melifonwu. And now you're talking about him possibly being the first-round pick. So I'm not even talking about him going at number 10 to the Bills. But does he become a first-round pick with how his pre-draft process has gone for him?
Yeah, you're talking about a freak show, Donald, to be honest with you. Looking at him at 6'4", 224 pounds, ran a 4.40, 44-inch vertical, 11.9 broad jump. I mean, what planet did this guy come from? It's pretty insane. You watch his tape, he's pretty good. He's physical and run support. He doesn't show the same athleticism in the back end, but he's a guy that brings a physical presence. You're talking about the Cam Chancellors of the world. Maybe guys going over the middle will certainly have their eye out for him. But I think he's a guy that certainly helped himself a lot in this pre-draft process, like you mentioned. I think he ultimately ends up going early in the second round, guys. But it is a deep safety class that I like a lot. You mentioned Melifonwu, but I also like Josh Jones out of NC State, Marcus May out of Florida. Both those guys, interchangeable, smart, instinctive safeties that I think can do a lot of things for you. Justin Evans even getting in the third round range. So there's a lot of safeties in this draft. I think if any team that's looking for secondary help, whether it be corner or safety, are going to be really happy with the crop coming out this year.
Kevin, who's your favorite player in the draft? Who are you going to keep an eye on when the draft unfolds in a couple weeks?
Reuben Foster would be my favorite player, Murph. I just love the way he plays. He's a guy, when you turn on the tape, it doesn't matter what tape, you could blindly pick a tape out this year. He's having a huge impact on the game, whether it be as a blitzer, finding the football. He's a heat-seeking missile. He is a violent hitter. He is a guy that I think can come in and be a culture-changing type of prospect. Now, the concerns you're going to have with him, obviously a little bit of shoulder, the way he plays, that's going to come with the medical checks as well, and a little bit of character concerns. But if you feel comfortable with him character-wise, to me, I think he's a top three player in this draft, just taking positional value. It may not go in that area, but I think when it's all said and done, you're going to see Reuben Foster play for a long time at a very high level.
I guess another position that everybody talks about up here in Buffalo, we know we need some cornerback depth on this team, possibly even a starter. What do you think about these cornerbacks? Who's your favorite?
Oh, one of my favorite corners in this class, I think you're looking at, obviously, I think Marshawn Lattimore is the best one of the group. I think there's a lot of interesting guys. I think Quincy Wilson, I really like the physicality that he plays with at 6'2", 211 pounds. He's built like a safety. So I think eventually he can come in and play. I want to be in that press situation type of deal with him where he can use his length, use his strength to his advantage to disrupt receivers at the line of scrimmage. But I think eventually when his career, you know, he kind of slows down a little bit with his speed and athleticism, he's got the size and he's got he can be reliable in run support to make that transition to a safety position. So that's why I like the size with him. I think a guy to keep an eye on, maybe in day two and maybe even into the third round that's dropped a little bit, is Tease Tabor out of Florida. I think with Sean McDermott wants to play a lot of heavy zone coverage, I think Tabor, who ran a 4.62, obviously a slower time, less than ideal, but when you watch him on tape, he's a fluid athlete. He's got really good instincts and tremendous ball skills. This guy has a lot of production at Florida, 28 pass breakups, 9 interceptions, a third of those, 3 of them returned for touchdowns. I think he would be a good fit in what McDermott wants to do in terms of guys that can play that heavy zone coverage and potentially you could cover him up in that heavy zone scheme.
One more phone call for Kevin Weidel. It comes from Sean in Buffalo. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a fan of the show. I feel personally the Bills should trade back, call all the teams, let them know we're willing to trade back, get an extra second or third round pick. Hopefully trade up in the top 10, might cost them a first round pick next year. Mm-hmm. I'll stay away from the quarterback draft this year, unless it's the fifth round, Chad Kelly or somebody like Peterman. I like to get a quarterback in next year's draft, the Darnold from USC or Josh Rosen from UCLA.
And we got a whole year off to watch them play one more year in college.
Josh, how good is the quarterback Kevin, how good is the quarterback class next year? What do you think? Is it worth waiting for?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some good players coming out. You mentioned Sam Darnold. I think this guy has a chance to be a really premier quarterback coming into this league and be one of those franchise guys you feel really good about taking early on. Josh Rosen has all the physical tools. He needs to get a little bit better, a little more seasoned under pressure at times. But it's going to be a good class. Again, I haven't even started on that. Those two guys jumped to mind, as you mentioned. But I think next year's class is going to be pretty strong.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for this. It's always great to hear your voice. We appreciate you coming on with us today to talk about it.
Hey, Murph, one thing I want to mention. I love the passion from your callers, man. I can tell. I go on radio a lot all over the country. I go on a lot down here in Carolina. But I there's a real difference in tone and just in terms of how intelligent and aware they are when they call in, man. It's just something I had to mention.
I thought you liked me. I didn't know it was a caller.
I love you, man.
He likes the callers.
No doubt.
Thanks.
Hey, 17 years to bring that passion.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Kevin Weidel is a draft analyst from ESPN Scouts, Inc. Been covering this thing for a long time. He's been on our show for 4 or 5 years now talking about the draft. We always love hearing Kevin Weidel assess the draft for us. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. And again, our thanks to Kevin Weidel of ESPN and Draft Scouts, Inc. for joining us, draft expert. The quarterback issue, always front and center, and maybe a little bit more so today with a couple of things, including the fact that the Bills went to a workout yesterday, scheduled a workout with Mitch Trubisky down in North Carolina. Reports last week that they also had a workout scheduled some point this week with Pat Mahomes. That was our Twitter poll, and you have a couple of minutes if you want to weigh in on that. So with this news about quarterbacks, are the Bills going to draft a quarterback in the first round? That's our Twitter poll. 830 votes in so far. Does that mean the Bills are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? 46% of you say no, it does not. 43% say it's a smokescreen. And 11% say, yeah, they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't think so, but could be wrong.
I don't think so either, but it sounds like even Kevin Weidel was saying.
Kevin Weidel said they
might. You know, the Bills might draft a quarterback. He was saying, with obviously the structure of Tyrod Taylor's contract and his shaky play, I guess, in the last couple of years, he was like, you should probably keep on swinging until you find your franchise guy.
It's out there. The Bills did sign a quarterback today, T.J. Yates, who joins the quarterback room, the former Houston Texan and Miami Dolphin last year. We talked with T.J. Yates in the first segment of our show a couple of hours ago and talked with him about the process that brought him here to Buffalo. Tell me about this process coming here. We know you were here for a visit late last week, and mm-hmm. what went on since then?
You know, they called last Wednesday and had a couple of travel issues. Atlanta was a little bit crazy. It took me 2 days to get here almost.
Always is.
So I finally got here late Thursday night. Yeah, I met with the coaches and everybody on Friday. And through the weekend, I took a trip to Chicago for a wedding, but then I came back yesterday and finally got the pen to the paper just now. So I'm happy to be here.
Donald and I were watching the workout, the conditioning work. Were you in that group there?
No, not yet. I just got here. So.
Just signed the thing.
You
okay.
think if you get in that group, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Ready to roll.
This process of coming here, tell me about how the Bills approached you and what maybe how they described what they were looking for from you, what the kind of role you might play.
I've had a previous relationship with Rick Dennison. He was my offensive coordinator in Houston for 3 years. So we had been chatting a little bit throughout the offseason. He was keeping tabs. And they called on Wednesday and brought me in, and it happened pretty quick. I'm happy to be here. This is Tyrod's football team. I'm here to help. I'm here for the quarterback room and whatever way I can do and help. I'm ready to compete.
Now, you said you had the relationship with Rick Dennison, so obviously you know his history, his offense, what he likes to run. How do you feel you fit into that scheme?
I like it a lot. It was something I did in college quite a bit, and I did for my first 3 years in Houston. I think it works it's going to work very well with the personnel we have here, the running game. And it's a run first offense, and that establishes everything throughout the play pass and the keepers and all the things that he likes to do. And I think it's going to be a great fit.
TJ, what are the What are the elements of a quarterback in this offense? You mentioned play pass. I mean, is that really one of the main things you have to do, perfect a play action pass technique? Or what are the responsibilities of a quarterback in Dennison's system?
That would be definitely one of them, you know, because it's such run heavy, and the way this offense works is you run it first and everything works off of that. Trying to stay ahead of the sticks, you know, not getting second long, third and long situations so you can stay within the offense. And you know, with Tyrod's mobility and everything, you know, Coach Dennison likes to do outside of the pocket, it's going to be great for him, I think.
Now, you said you're here for the quarterback room. This is Tyrod's team. What do you feel like you bring to that room?
Obviously, a knowledge of the offense. You know, I've played a little bit in this league, and you know, I think I can, you know, bring a little bit of knowledge to the room, help any way I can, give some advice when I can, and just try to, you know, be a good team member.
You've played in this league a lot, actually, and you'll be, what, 30 years old, I guess, in a couple of months?
Soon to be, yep.
End of May.
Oh, but, no, I'm just messing.
30 looks good to me.
I'm about to be 32.
Hey, TJ, coming into the league, though, with Houston, things happen quickly for you, wouldn't you say? I mean, as a fifth-round pick, you find yourself starting and then starting in a playoff game for the Texans.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy year, my rookie year. You know, Matt Schaub was the starter there for – you know, throughout that whole year, and then he got hurt, I think, week 10 of my rookie year. And, you know, my first game dressing the next game, Matt Leinart steps in. He gets hurt in the first quarter. So I was thrown into the fire pretty quickly. But, you know, Coach Dennison was one of those guys to help me keep me ready throughout the year. He wouldn't let me relax 1 second throughout that entire year, those first 10 weeks of the season, training camp, all that. You know, he keeps the entire quarterback room ready. And I think that's what helped me have success and help the team have success throughout that the rest of that year. We kept the run going, won a franchise's first playoff game.
Yeah.
So it was a special year for us.
What was that like, starting a playoff game as a rookie, you know, having just been into the lineup a couple of months before that?
Pretty wild. You know, at that point, I didn't really have time to kind of stop and think about everything because I was a million miles an hour, you know, in the room as much as I could to try to get ready each week and play. But it was cool. You know, it was a big moment for the city of Houston and the organization.
Was it when Kubiak was the head coach, right, near Houston? You had Dennison and Kubiak, a couple of, I guess, modified quarterback gurus there, mm-hmm. you know, that you were listening to. Did that make a difference, you think, in your early development, having Kubiak and Rick Dennison?
Absolutely. We had, it's kind of funny, when I was playing, you know, Matt Schaub got hurt, Matt Leinart got hurt. We had Rico, we had Kube, we signed Jeff Garcia, we signed Jake Delhomme. All these guys were in the room, and it was like, mm-hmm. we counted at one time, it was like 150 years of NFL experience. And the rookie was the guy playing on the field. So I had a lot of, you know, guys talking to me, giving me advice every day. So, you know, I just pulled from everybody around me to help me have success.
You had DeAndre Hopkins you were throwing the ball to, and mm-hmm. we've seen some of the highlights for the people on the MSG side. Now you have Sammy Watkins here. What's your connection to the Clemson wide receivers?
Hopefully a good one. you know, those are very similar players, DeAndre and Sammy. You know, DeAndre is a very easy guy to throw to. You know, he's mm-hmm. got a radius of about 10 feet. You know, you put it anywhere in there, he's going to come down with it. So those type of receivers, which I know Sammy's the same type of guy, he makes it very easy on the quarterback. Very easy to throw to, and he's going to make big plays for you.
Were you disappointed after having the early success that you got traded to Atlanta from the Texans, what, 2 or 3 years into your career?
Yeah, it was after, in between my third and fourth years. Yeah, I loved Houston. It was a great place, great spot for me. But, you know, coaching change, you know, that's kind of how the NFL works. You know, if everybody wants to play in the same place their entire
sure.
career, but you know, that's just the nature of the business. I got to go home for a year. I'm from Atlanta, so that was fun to go home for a year and then actually end up going back to Houston the next
right.
year. So you know, I've kind of been hopping around the past couple of years, a couple of injuries, but it feels good to finally be healthy and, you know, be in an offense that I'm very comfortable with and be with a great team.
A couple of years ago, it was a pretty serious knee injury, right, late mm-hmm. in the year when you're back with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the recovery from that, and did it take you almost a full year to get fully recovered from that?
You know, probably, you know, till you actually feel comfortable. You know, I got hurt, I think, week 15 of that year of 2015, so I wasn't cleared to play yet by the beginning of next year, and I was a free agent, so I had some time to sit at home and rehab and get ready, and then Miami picked me up late in the last year.
What does that do to your mind when you're sitting at home and you're rehabbing? Does it give you time to think about everything? Like, what does that do to your mind?
It's tough to watch, you know, to watch football on Sundays and not be a part of it, you know, because I've done it for so long. you know, but it just keeps you motivated. I really liked working out on Sundays while the games were going on, just to, you know, kind of get away from it. But definitely get you motivated. You know, I know I have the ability to play in this league, and I knew I'd get another shot.
So the knee recovers, you signed with the Dolphins. You must have been here, right, backing up Matt Moore back on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah, what a wild game that was.
That was a wild game. I mean, crazy game.
Goes to overtime and you know, meant it, big changes here. Obviously, Rex was let go about 2 days later. Mm-hmm. From the Dolphins' perspective, what was that game like? Going to OT especially.
Yeah, it was a big game for us. You know, Matt was playing very well at that time. You know, we kind of rallied around each other, the whole team. You know, and it's always tough to come up here and play, you know, especially as a quarterback. The first thing you think of is when you're going to Buffalo is like, oh, the wind, you know, because no quarterback likes throwing in wind. But, you know, the crowd here, the atmosphere, it's a college atmosphere. I mean, it's a great place to play. It's a tough place to play for opposing teams. And, you know, we're lucky that day.
As you speak about the wind, now you get signed by the team.
Yeah.
So now this is home. So
yeah, you got to get used to it, you know. You can't make excuses. You got to, obviously, anywhere you go, especially in this division, you're going to have some weather to deal with. But just got to throw tight spirals.
That is T.J. Yates. He joined us a couple of hours ago here on the show, about 2.5 hours ago. He not only does he look the part of a backup quarterback, but he says all the right things.
He does.
Doesn't he, Donald?
Yeah, he's been trained well. You know, he's bounced around, and he definitely knows how to talk to the media. But, you know, he's like you said, you got to throw tight spirals. You can't throw any of those Peyton Manning balls up here in Orchard Park. You got to throw tight spirals.
And, you know, we talked a lot, you know, and he said, this is Tyrod's room. I'm here to bring experience to the quarterback room. We talked a lot over the last week. Actually, it was last week, about what they need to finish off their quarterback room. I think they have kind of the right guy. Look, and he's played in big games. There's a reason why he's a number two, obviously, but I do think they have the right guy in terms of experience and the right approach when he says this is Tyrod's team.
Yeah, and also a guy that knows this offense, knows this scheme, you know. So it makes things a lot easier for Tyrod Taylor having to transition into this scheme. Now you have a guy that's been in it, a guy that's on the field with you looking at the same things that you're looking at. You know, he's run these plays before. So when Tyrod Taylor, you know, turns his back to the defense, goes to his play action, well, now when you get your head back up, this is what you should be looking at because he's played in this offense. I think it's so much different when you have a guy who has played in the offense that knows that scheme than just the coach that's trying to teach you the scheme.
Time now for our favorite part of the show, when we play fake news or real news. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Fake or real, some of the things that have crossed our desks as we get ready to talk about the NFL today. One of them was that incredible dare almost by Myles Garrett from Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. He says, if you don't draft me, I will punish your team for the next 10 or 12 years. Saying this about the Cleveland Browns, I'll knock your quarterback out of the game every time we play you, and I will have to kick the hell out of the number one to whoever it is. Myles Garrett with a threat, not even a veiled threat, but a threat to the Cleveland Browns if they don't draft a number one overall. Fake or real, the Browns will pass on Myles Garrett at number one. I say fake. I mean, they're going to do it. They're going to pick him. They got so many other picks, they can get what they want later on.
You know, I would have to say this is real news, right? It wouldn't surprise me if they did pass on him, even though everybody thinks he's a sure lock to be the number one overall pick. You heard, well, I know how you feel about certain national reporters, but Jason LaCanfora saying that, you know, Leonard Fournette is still on the docket for the Browns at number one.
That'd
you know,
be crazy.
So it would be crazy if they went with the running back at number one, but who knows? You know, I think right now everybody's saying it, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went away. We know the Browns and you know, their management and the things that they like to do. They do some crazy things, so I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd be shocked. Fake news, real news. Malcolm Butler, a talented corner for the New England Patriots. Albert Breer says he is more likely to play for the Saints than for the Patriots right now. Butler made that visit to New Orleans, and nothing is signed there yet. The clock's kind of ticking for a restricted free agent like Malcolm Butler. Butler more likely to play for the Saints and the Patriots? I say that's real.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots have turned the page on Malcolm Butler.
It seems like they have turned the page. I mean, you're talking about – so I'm going to go real as well. You're talking about a guy, Malcolm Butler, who made – first of all, he made the game-winning play, the Super Bowl-winning play for them. Then he came back, and he shut down, like, Antonio Brown. Arguably the best receiver in the game. He shut him down on multiple occasions, you know. So for them to go out and not pay him but pay Stephon Gilmore, a guy obviously that they've played against for multiple years, twice a year, but for them to go out and pay Stephon Gilmore the money that Malcolm Butler reportedly wanted. That goes to show you that they're turning the page on Malcolm Butler. And then he was involved in trade talks and all types of stuff. So I think they have turned the page. I think it's real that he will play for the Panthers.
Hasn't signed his tender, which means, you know, even though he's got a first-round tender, the Saints obviously not willing to part with that to get Malcolm Butler. But I think this thing is – stick around. I think there's some stuff that's going to go on here, and I would not be surprised if Malcolm Butler plays for New Orleans and not New England. Fake news, real news, brought to you by – Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills, T.J. Yates, joined us right off the top of the show. The Bills' new quarterback on the active roster now is with the Buffalo Bills. Yates talked to us about why he chose the Bills and what his role might be here with Buffalo.
I've had a previous relationship with Rick Dennison. He was my offensive coordinator in Houston for 3 years. So we had been chatting a little bit throughout the offseason. He was keeping tabs. And they called on Wednesday and brought me in, and it happened pretty quick. I'm happy to be here. This is Tyrod's football team, and I'm here to help. I'm here for the quarterback room and whatever way I can do and help. I'm ready to compete.
T.J. Yates, brand new quarterback on the Buffalo Bills roster for in the quarterback room now. Do they need another one? Draft pick? Also today in the show, Marcus Cromartie joined us, one of the eight free agents signed by the Buffalo Bills on Friday. Cromartie's played in the league a little bit, including last year with San Francisco. Marcus Cromartie talked about his flexibility when it comes to a position on the field.
You know what? I think that's what makes me so good in this game, because I'm versatile. I played corner in this league. You know, I started at corner. I played, got reps at safety. I play special teams at a high level, and it's just, you kind of need those guys on the team, because it's like having a jackknife. You know, you might need a razor one day, you might need to clip your fingernails the next. So you kind of need, those things to kind of, build the chemistry around the team.
Marcus Cromartie, if I were a free agent cornerback, this would be the team that I would want to be on.
You'd be happy to get a call from here, And it doesn't matter if you're a free agent looking for big money, if you're a guy that's just trying to stick onto a team. Like, this is a place where you can come and earn a position and be able to play and maybe even become a starter, because right now that's where they are.
And as Cromartie pointed out, and you jumped on, his flexibility kind of fits in with a number of other signings that Sean McDermott has had here.
Yeah, on offense and defense. It's like everybody who he's signed has played multiple positions along with playing special teams. It seems like that's what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do moving forward. And that's great for a team, because now you have guys that can do a lot of different things for your team. You can move them around. They're not just pigeonholed into one position.
Bill signed another player. Well, besides Yates, they signed Ian Seau to a contract today. Seau's been in the league a little bit with the Los Angeles Rams. We hope to have him on the show tomorrow, the nephew of former Hall of Fame linebacker Junior Seau. Our Twitter poll deals with quarterbacks, and this kind of came up in the middle of the morning. Reports out there that the Bills worked out Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina yesterday. More than reports, there was a picture that was put out on Twitter of Sean McDermott and team owner Terry Pegula at the workout with one of the Carolina Tar Heels assistant coaches, and reports last week that the Bills are going to work out Pat Mahomes. So does that mean the Bills are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? They said a 10th overall. That was our Twitter poll, 850 votes in, and 47% of you say no. They're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. 42% of you say it's a smokescreen. Don't worry about it. 11% say yes. You know, if you add the no votes and the smokescreen, that's 89%. That's 9 out of 10 Bills fans say no. Are not biting on this.
You know, if they draft the quarterback in the first round, I think they're turning the page on Cardell.
Really?
I do. I think they're turning the page on Cardell, because I still think they'll need a veteran behind Tyrod Taylor. You know, so
I'd be shocked if that were the case.
I'd be shocked, too, especially we're here. We talk to different people. We know how they feel about Cardale Jones. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if they go one in the first round. But now with the owner popping up in a picture at the pro day, and then you hear You hear different people say, like,
yeah,
the Bills
Weidel
might.
Doesn't know, but the, he doesn't the fact know, that Terry but, is there is what got my attention.
Right.
At the workout.
The owner. Like, it's one thing for your GM. If the GM is there, people are like, ooh, Doug Whaley's at this pro day. But for the owner to come, that's a little different.
Hey, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our intercom board op is Brayton Wilson. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, James Donovan, who just threw that pass, and producer Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Steve Tasker joins us at 1. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.